Hey everybody, it's Boss Barrel episode 148. I am Griff Hoffman, and I am chilling like the mountains on this, the blue mountains of this can of adult beverage. Or actually, it's a thermometer, but it's close enough. Hey Jeff. Wait, Brewer, how are you?
I'm doing well. Is that beverage of yours cold activated?
It is ice cold easy. Ice cold sleazy, okay, I think.
Does it change color when it's cold enough?
I don't think so, but I think it has a, like, essentially a sticker on it that's like, it's cold, even though it might not be.
I think that you're not a true American unless you drink beer that's cold activated.
Oh, somebody agrees, it sounds like. Jamie, what are your thoughts on cold activated alcoholic beverages?
I have a cool mug that's heat activated, and it shows how the earth is going to get all screwed up by global warming.
Nobody wants to see your ugly mug.
what pledge drive did you get that in?
I think I literally could have gotten it in a WNYC pledge drive that I did support, but this was purchased independently, unfortunately. but good intuition there.
Thank
you. Know
you.
Me well.
Yeah. Yeah. Personally awarded by vice president. Oh God.
The vice president of this country.
The vice president of this country, Al Gore. Alan Gore, as he prefers.
Bashar al-Assad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bashar?
I don't know who
Bashir?
That is.
I don't know. Mushir?
It's Bashir al-Assad. You guys.
I think it's Mufasa?
Mufasa.
Mufasa.
You guys, why don't you listen to the Diane Reeb show every day?
I listen to it. Hey, Justin McElroy of Polygon fame made a Diane Reeb joke, so now he's your favorite person.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I need to follow him.
Yeah.
How did I not know about this? For our listener out there, Diane Reem is a talk radio lady.
I was going to try and not ask about it to avoid it, but...
Hold on, just real quick. She has a really awesome show that's really balanced, and she also sounds like she's dying of lung cancer. It's pretty great. You guys should check it out.
How balanced is she?
Well, she's so balanced that when you put her on the scale, nothing happened.
International weights and measures.
Yep.
Well, that's great. What have you guys been up to besides balancing
Mario Golf
podcast?
Right now.
Oh, for the 3DS?
Yeah.
Jamie, can we play that online if I buy it?
I don't think so.
No.
You guys can play in like a tournament together, like where you compete against each other based on scores.
Exactly. But I don't think we can, like, concurrently play and, like, see each other and so on and so forth.
Can I play with you by just being your, like, backseat driver caddy?
Yeah.
Can you set up, turn your camera on and just put it on there? And I'll be like, you should be using a sand wedge. 68 degrees. Only an idiot would use that club.
The wind is blowing really hard right now. Uh-huh. I don't know if you noticed, but the little cloud, he's making an angry face.
See
so.
That Lakitu blowing around over there? God, how could you miss that? Look, it's got to be at least...
You're giving me a great idea for a new connected social experience. It'll be Twitch moans angrily about Mario Golf. Although that's already kind of the Twitch experience.
I think that's already just the internet.
So perfect. Go ahead, Jamie. Sorry.
No, I mean I'll talk more about that when we talk about
what's your handicap.
Right now, my handicap, I believe, is actually 0, but it started out as a 9.
Oh goodness.
Yeah.
Did you have to take a competency test beforehand?
Literally, yes.
Huh.
It makes you establish a handicap, and it makes you do so by playing like a bullshit round, like a full bullshit.
That's pretty cool.
Huh.
Not really, because it's like annoying, and then you have to play the course again.
Yeah.
Like you can play that whole round, and you can like quote unquote win, but then you have to play that course again, like another tournament on that course, which is fine because I think it's a great game and it's totally fun, and I'll probably play these courses again and again anyway. Mm. But I like when you actually play, like when you actually defeat other people, you get like money and you can spend the money on like shoes and clothing and golf clubs and visors.
Just like the Mario Golf I know and remember.
And also when you actually win. So I guess I'll just start talking about this game now.
No.
So
no.
No?
Yeah. No. Yeah. No?
Okay.
No.
So, all right, let's vote on it.
No.
Okay. Griffin, what do you vote? I'm going to vote present.
I abstain.
I vote for Nader.
The yeas,
do I get a coffee
the
mug?
I think the yeas have it.
Damn it, those yeas.
Or the ayes have it. Okay, go ahead, Jamie.
So when I bought this game and I fired it up, I actually didn't realize it, but I was only playing half of the game, which is the half of the game that's designed to be played like pretty much on the go. So mm-hmm. when you fire this game up, there's a screen and it's like two options. And it's like, do you want to like play quick or do you want to like play basically campaign? Mm-hmm. And I didn't even really notice that. I was just kind of clicking through. And so I was playing like the super quick, just get in there, play a couple holes and leave. And that's super fun.
I know what that's like.
Yeah.
yeah, I'm too tired to make. I'll leave the joking up to you. You're killing it. That's your department now. So that's cool. You get to play as like you know Mario, or whatever, all those guys, and you can play just like six holes or whatever, or you can even less, and it's just really quick. You choose your course, you get in, and it's done, and it's fun. I didn't realize there was this whole campaign. We have to play as your me. I'm doing that now. But the reason why you have to play as your me is that like all the other characters, like Bowser, Mario, Peach, and Toad, and all them are like characters.
Yeah.
In the game, there is a hub world, yeah. and you talk to them, and they talk
more like
to you,
a
and there's
club
like, they're
world.
Different...
Oh,
whoa!
Hey, a hole in one.
Someone get an and, like, extinguisher because this man's on fire.
Nice, nice on.
Yeah. Man, you guys are good.
A little too much sauce on that turkey.
That okay.
All of my golf jokes come from Hotshots Golf 2002.
I was going to say a little birdie told me that you're on a roll, bro.
Man, you've got eagle eyes for those jokes tonight.
Oh, Jesus. You're making me feel dumb. But it's good.
Why, do you want a mulligan?
Par for the course. Par for the course.
God damn it.
Go on, Jamie.
Since I'm actually playing the game right now, all my focus is just on these like fucked up cactus trees. Keep like cock blocking me from getting.
So Jimmy, what you're describing is typical of Mario Golf. Camelot does this thing with their, especially with their handheld sports games, where there's like it's like a pseudo RPG. Like you can level up, and you don't play as the cool characters. Mm-mm. You play as like a normal dude.
Yeah.
I did not
so
know
this is all. This is all kind of old hat, but it's really funny at the same time. Go ahead.
I did not know this, and it is incredible, and I love it. Hmm. And it's the best part about it is, like, you know, Bowser's always talking shit, whatever. But then there are, like, random...
What Bowser do, you know?
There are random, like, Koopas and Shy Guys all over the place, and they're also, like talking up, like, the main character players. They're like, oh, man. Did you see what Mario did on hole 9 yesterday? Fucking crazy. and then like it's also like a big honor that you're in this golf club and they keep telling you that. You're like, it's like that one Shy Guy came up to me and he's like, it's about your conduct on and off the golf course that matters. Okay.
This sounds like such a great Japanese weird. Yeah. It's always like Academy Life. That's what they do in these games. Yeah, I played Mario Tennis for the Game Boy Color, I think. Hmm. And they did the same thing. It's like you're in this prestigious school.
Yeah.
And even Mario goes there.
Oh, what? Mario goes there? Getting in must be rough.
I have to explain the weirdest part, though. So So Bowser talks directly to you, and Peach and Toad talk directly to you. However, when Mario or Luigi talk, they gesticulate and their mouth opens, but then they don't say anything, and then Toad translates what they are saying. I don't know why that is. He'll be like, they'll talk, and then Toad will chime in, and Toad will be like, Luigi's pretty impressed with you, but he still thinks he's going to kick your ass next time.
Oh my God, like, that's so awesome. So essentially, they don't want to talk to you. They're like talking, they are talking through their handler, Toad.
No, they're looking at me and they're talking and they're gesticulating at me, and then they don't say anything. And then Toad is like, what Mario's trying to say is that he wants to give you this trophy. Huh. Yoshi will talk to you, but whenever Yoshi talks to you, he talks in parentheses.
That is not canon. And
talking in parentheses, Griffin, that's in Mario RPG.
Yoshi?
In talking in parentheses?
Yoshi talks ever?
No, Yoshi's in Mario RPG talk in parentheses.
They do?
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, all right.
There's an established canon there.
Okay.
It's legit.
All right.
It's awesome, whatever it is. I mean, he's like talking in parentheses and he's Yoshi. It's great. It's a great game. It's legitimately like all this stuff that's built up around the actual gameplay is fantastically done. Like, there's a little cafe you can go to. There's a little gym. There's freaking Koopas on the treadmills. It's great. And then the actual game is like super solid. Like, really fun. There's a good like amount of random chance to what you do, so even if you line up a shot perfectly, it's never like you're gonna get it 100%, but you get pretty much what you lined up.
So you're pretty much saying that you're in favor of tripping.
Yeah. from Smash or from Smash Brothers Brawl.
I don't know.
I don't think it's like tripping. I think what Jamie's trying to say is it's like kind of like weird and kooky, but I'm sure there is some internal logic where you could like actually figure it out.
If you line up a shot perfectly and then you like execute the shot perfectly, your ball will pretty much do exactly what you wanted. If we're talking like actual golf course like area, there is like a square foot or two of randomness on a 300-foot drive. Which is nice because I remember playing Hot Shots Golf on the PSP, and it's like at a certain point, it's just like everything is going exactly my way all the time, and I just murder everyone.
Yeah, and then it goes, nice!
Yeah.
Nice!
But this is like, it keeps you guessing. The type of terrain you hit off of really makes a difference. The weather and wind really makes a difference. Huh. It's a lot of fun. You never feel cheated, Griffin.
Okay, well, is it if you, like, get better clubs or something, it'll improve your accuracy? Or is it literally, like, there's just a 5% margin of wiggle room in there for where the ball can go?
It's more like 1% or 2%, and, yeah, better equipment does help out.
Okay, I can deal with 1% or 2%. I can't deal with, like, it said it was going to go here. For some unknown reason, it just decided not to.
No, if that doesn't happen, it's either because like of the wind, and it'll tell you the wind beforehand, and then during the shot, it will show you the wind affecting your shot. There, it's good.
All right.
Yeah. You.
I think I'm sure it'll be good because it's Camelot sports games are always kind of like that, and it always feels good.
Ugh. Oh, it feels good.
All over my
grip it and rip it.
When you get a bogey, as I did just now, your little me is like standing on the green, and then a gaggle of other me players surround you and look extremely disappointed.
I want your me to let go and just start beating Birdo with a club.
How many times do you just yell in the hole?
All the time.
Good. That's how every game should be played ever.
Can you please make Happy Gilmore for your me and then play as him?
Yes. They gave my me a voice, and it's so Japanese, and he only talks when he fucks up, and he's like, oh, no!
well, that sounds horribly racist.
Yeah. I got it for half price because I got the game for like a Target deal or something, and that's like exactly the way that you should buy this game. Mm. But it's fun. I'm liking it. And
are you saying you're supposed to buy it at a Target with your NFC? Okay.
Yeah. Get some Amiibos and some Skylanders while you're there.
Stock up. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
No. I've got to. I really want to hear the. I want to see these Mario scenes. I got to say, one of my favorite Mario voices. Have either of you guys played Mario and Luigi?
No.
Okay. In Mario and Luigi both talk, but like they speak in like Mario-lish. And it's just Charles Martinet just being like,
amazing.
That sounds amazing. Charles Martinet's Instagram account has gone suspiciously quiet.
I'm guessing Nintendo was like, what the hell are you doing?
It's like twice a week opposed to like five a day.
Are they all still Mario?
Yes.
Oh God!
No, it's so. I think he found a raccoon or something and went nuts recently, and that was a good one.
He doesn't go nuts when they find a raccoon.
You could do so like weird. A Charles Martinet. Like, have you ever seen those like fake Star Trek Generation episode Twitter accounts where it's like Jean-Luc Picard dresses up as a salesman from the 1950s, travels in time, accidentally stuck in the teleporter room. Meanwhile, Wesley Crusher saves the whole ship from space mutiny. It's like that kind of like canned shitty thing, but you could do that with Charles Martinet where it's like Charles Martinet's Instagram account is Charles Martinet stumbles upon weird living creature in Brazil. Commentary from the three characters, confusing it with another animal. Correction. Success.
Jamie, how heavily does Waluigi figure into this game, by the way?
I haven't seen him.
No!
Haven't seen him for a hot second.
Missed opportunity.
Totally.
Wario stuffing.
Oh God!
Yeah, I lost his name there for a second. Wario was at a buffet, like stuffing his fat face.
Sounds fine. Yeah.
Then he said something to me, and he was like, "Oh, this food is so good, but you suck at golf." And then he kept eating.
Did I send either of you guys the crazy conspiracy theory about how Waluigi is actually the like guy from Wrecking Crew for the NES?
No.
Oh, I should send it to you guys. It's super cool. First of all, his debut was in Mario Tennis.
Yeah. Yes, it
really?
Is.
Really?
Yep.
That was his debut.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I haven't seen the video for it, the intro video, but I hear it is fabulous.
I'm going to send you guys this thing because it's super cool, and it actually fits surprisingly well. But basically, the idea is that Camelot wanted to use this kind of obscure character, and then they were more or less shut down. But a lot of stuff is carried over. Like Waluigi in one of the Mario Karts, he drives a construction vehicle. And all this really interesting stuff.
Oh, my God.
Interesting.
I'll show it to you guys. You guys won't care at all.
The answers have been right in front of our faces.
That sounds interesting. I care.
Waluigi is the chemtrails of Mario.
So I've been also... I played all of the Gunvolt.
Don't let your children get wa-inoculated, because that's just the government trying to kill the weak.
I was like halfway into a sentence, and you bombed it. you bombed it with that.
I did. Yeah.
He sentence bombed. Go ahead, Jamie.
Weather manipulation. Wa-weather.
Can we just interrupt all of Jamie's sentences going forward with various wahs?
Oh! I got stuffed so badly by a piece of canyon just now. My golf ball is way, way off the
Did either of you guys watch the awesome game awesome games done quick bonus stream where they're playing the weird ass frog golfing game?
Uh-uh.
Oh my God. We need to find that. It's a PS2 game, I think. It looks so awesome. You like hit your frog, right? And then the frog, after it hits the ground, it hops like three or four times. And if it interacts with a very like an environmental hazard, it'll get launched. Huh. And you can start like these like Rube Goldberg esque like
what
interactions.
What the hell are you talking? This sounds amazing.
It's so cool. I was loving every second of it. Anyway, Jamie, you were playing Azure Strikes.
I played as much of that game as I can. I got to a, I think it's the second to last level, and it's doing that Japanese platformer thing where it's like, hey, remember all these bosses that you already beat? Now they're different colors, and beat them again, but in a row. Mm. And I was like, oh no, I'm not playing this anymore.
Hey, speaking of which, did you ever finish Shovel Knight?
No, I have to do that. Oh. I got distracted.
Yes, you do.
I love that game.
Shovel Knight has the refights, right? Right, Griff?
It does, yes.
It has it in kind of a novel approach, right?
No.
Do you have to do it in a row? It's not that novel.
Nope.
Do you have to do it in a row?
Boss rush, just like any old Mega Man.
Oh, except God. you don't get to choose the row. Or the order, rather.
Well,
you don't get to
the
choose
only difference. You were not random able to do that. You're not able to choose the order of the boss rush.
No, I'm saying you don't choose the order in this one.
Yeah, it's just, oh, is it random before or something?
No. In Mega Man games, usually you have like you can go in and you can choose which ones to fight. In Shovel Knight, they come down randomly every time.
Oh, they do?
Yep.
Huh. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I thought it was the same order every time.
Nope, because I died right afterwards.
Oh.
And I had to do the fight them again.
Oh. Huh.
And it was a different order.
Crazy.
Yeah. Well, I don't think I would mind with the Shovel Knight bosses, but these bosses, some of them are a little cheap, I guess I would say. Mm. Not that the game is poorly designed or anything. It's just that I enjoy fighting them all individually. I'm not so interested in fighting them all at once with one life. So, yeah, I was kind of like, I'm done with this.
Hmm.
But I got enough out of that game to recommend it. It's a crazy, stupid game.
Did you ever recover your Mighty Number 9 Volt or whatever the hell it was called? Code to play that?
No, I tried looking for that and I couldn't find it, so I don't know what's up with that. Hmm.
I played a little bit of it, Jamie. You're not really missing much. It's kind of like a shitty Mega Man. It's cute, but it's not that great.
Gotcha.
So
that's pretty much all I've done besides Velocity. But we can talk about that.
Besides what, Jamie? Now. You dropped out.
Velocity.
The
is
new Velocity.
Oh, Velocity. Yeah, talk about
it. I really like it a lot.
Is that straight up new, or is that like new to the PSP or something?
No, that's straight up new.
Oh, okay. New and free?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
On PlayStation Plus.
All right.
This is not the first time they've done that. They did that with Metrico as well.
What? Oh, I didn't play that. Okay.
Yeah. I have it. I played like a minute of it. Go ahead, Jamie.
But this game, Metrico, not released to amazing critical acclaim, right? But this game, it was. So it's kind of like, oh my god, it's free, and it's getting nines all over the place, so I'll definitely try it out. And I really, really am enjoying it so much. I played it on, I'm doing the cross-save thing, so I played it some on my PS4, some on my PS Vita there. And yeah, I think it's so, I love the art, I love the music. And I really love how they meld the different styles of play. Griffin, I remember we were talking a little bit before, and Griffin, you said that you didn't like how fast slow it was, and I totally get that. But I actually love that aspect to it. Like you, when we were talking, you said you didn't like how it was too slow and then too fast.
No, well, okay, yes, I didn't like how the dash that you move between walls. Like solid objects, like in order to do that, you need to press a button. You need to take off the boost, press a button, move the reticle to the area you want to go, and then let go to execute that dash. Because it just makes the action stop. And I'm like, oh, this is kind of dull now. Just like this herky jerky kind of nature that I'm like, this would be solved better on a touchscreen, I think.
Yeah, I kind of feel you. I feel the same way, Griff. I only played the first one, but so I just didn't grab me for some reason, which makes me sad because a lot of people really like it, but I never got beyond like the first three or four levels.
Yeah, I totally hear what you're saying. I could definitely see that. I never felt that.
I just want to go fast all the time.
I feel like I gotta go fast. I feel like I am. I feel like I'm pretty much just flying. I've played maybe 12 levels.
Okay.
I feel like I'm just kind of zooming through. When I feel like I'm slowing down is when I'm in the like the outer space regions, and I'm trying to rescue people and also like go through walls and stuff. I feel like I have to slow down at those moments, but I actually like that because I feel like it adds some variety. Like I feel like, oh, I'm going so fast, I'm just blazing through.
But I have to slow down
and think about my...
If you weren't having to slow down, think about how much faster you could get through that level and how much better your score would be.
That's true.
For me, I just didn't really like the core gameplay that much. Like the slowing down was a little weird, but it's kind of like just flying through a long hallway.
Yeah,
I felt.
Yeah, I like that part, but that wasn't the game.
Yeah,
that's holding a button.
Jamie, can you speak about the platforming sections?
Yeah, did you guys not get to those? Or no, Griffin did.
I got to the first one.
I didn't play the sequel. I only played the original.
I think they're also great. They feel pretty cohesive with the ship parts. Like the controls are basically the same.
How do they work though? Because they weren't in the original, so I don't know anything about them.
You literally just dock your ship. Okay. You walk into a little area, and then you start doing stuff that's kind of similar to what you do when you're in the ship, but it feels different for reasons I can't explain.
It's because it's a golf game.
It's a little different. It's a golf game.
I really want that golf game.
Well, Velocity 2X is the game for you.
I told you guys that Shannon described it as a combination of Shatter and something else. I forget the other thing she said.
It really helps to space
out
that action.
might want to shift my attention over to that game. Go ahead, Jimmy.
So yeah, I'm really enjoying that game. I'm definitely gonna finish it. I inordinately love it. I totally hear what you guys are saying, and your points are well taken. But at the same time, like every time I play that game, for the entirety of the time I play it, I'm exuberant.
That's awesome.
I love it.
That's how I feel about Shatter. So hearing Shannon make that comparison,
it makes me at least a little
curious.
It feels a lot like Shatter to me. Like the fluidity of the movement and I don't know, just the craziness of what's happening on screen.
I'll check it out again. I never played the sequel, so I'll give that a shot and see how it goes. I've only played the original.
Well, it's free. So.
Yes, I have it on my Vita and my PS4. It's late. I had the time to play it yet.
You really should.
That's beautiful. Oh, yeah.
I guess you should. Jamie says you should.
And I burped just now.
That's true. That kind of pushed me.
That's so wah, Jamie.
I ate some shitty microwave food for dinner today, and now I feel like my insides are dying. Mm-hmm.
How much did you pay for your shitty microwave food?
It's Stouffer's, so not a lot.
More or less than a dollar?
Oh, more than a dollar.
Oh, fancy stuff. Holy gosh.
You can,
Jamie,
wait,
I also ate shitty microwave food.
What brand is less than a
dollar? Michelina's? Zappum's?
Where do you live?
It's pretty good, man. 10 for $10.
Wait, did you just say Michelina?
I don't know how to say it. It's Italian or something.
Oh, I thought Michelina was like a sex change Mitch.
Yeah. Hi, my name's Michelina. No. It is it's a crappy brand of frozen foods.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean this I don't feel like I'm going to keel over and like this instant, but I feel like later there might be a reckoning.
Do you think that this, like, I think that like the Hungry Man meals, I don't know what the East Coast brand is, like Hearty Crab or Hefty Lobster or whatever it is.
We have Hungry Man.
Okay. Like, but it's the frozen meal that's like, does your wife's kitty dinner with her noodles and veggies not going to fill you up? Try this man meal for $1. It's a half briquette of meatloaf and 2 pounds of gravy. And this will fill you right up. And you're like, this... How can you make this at $1? How can I get how do you make a profit on this?
Do they
because
actually
there's
describe
no
it?
Food in the thing.
It's all you can eat the just, packaging, right?
It's just sawdust.
Do they actually describe it as a brick? A brick of food?
A briquette, because it's lunch.
Oh god.
You have a full brick for dinner, you eat the briquette for lunch.
So anyway, I was microwaving this this somewhat now I realize middle of the road Stouffer's meal for myself.
Gourmet frozen meal.
Yeah, my gourmet frozen meal. I was microwaving it. I'm standing here in the microwave and I'm bored, so I'm on my phone and I'm on Facebook. And one of my idiot med school friends posted a video of a full C-section on Facebook. And you know how Facebook these days
starts playing, yeah.
Yeah. So it just started. It started with the first cut right away. And by the way, a full C-section can take as little as like 2 or 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. So without really realizing what was happening while I was waiting for my food, I just watched an entire C-section. And afterwards, I felt nauseous. And then I just shoved all this Stouffer's barbecue chicken down my gullet. And
that was actually placenta, Jamie.
It was the misplaced organs that they forgot to put back in.
Did you guys know that they actually, like, people will cook placenta, like, they'll, mm-hmm. like, saute it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You don't just munch into it. You actually, like, cook it. I didn't realize this.
You scream Kali Ma, and you suck it out of the gut, and you just chew it up right there.
There are a lot of great diseases you can get from eating cow placenta. People love to eat cow placenta, and they come down with these really exotic infectious diseases that no one else gets because they're fucking idiots.
No, rich people.
No, they're not. Well, I guess they are rich.
They're actually all just dogs. They're just farm dogs that come into the hospital. I would imagine it would be, because that's like where all the shit gets stuck in, so... You don't really interact with that very often.
The vagina?
No, the placenta.
I put shit into the vagina.
Well, you're doing it wrong.
Says you.
No means no, Jeff.
No, but Griff, you're exactly right. It's a barrier. It's an immune barrier for the baby. So yeah, it makes perfect sense. Right. And it makes no sense why you'd want to eat that.
Right.
I thought you can eat your own relatively safely, though. Like, if you eat your own, you're not exposed to any.
Never eat your own supply. Never.
I suppose.
Didn't you listen to Biggie Smalls? Never eat your own supply.
No, I just read about this today, actually.
There's less of a reason to, but the mechanism is still the same. It's basically like a protective, like, immune barrier for the fetus. So it's just kind of gross and ridiculous to me.
Right. Yeah, but like, I mean, you're not gonna hurt yourself
because it's. People say that it can help with postpartum depression.
Well, people are fucking stupid.
There's no actual.
If there's anything weird that you should eat that came from a human body, it would just be breast milk. Because that shit's like superfood.
Yeah. You actually should do that. Like, yeah. It's actually important because the mom is making antibodies that the baby's liver can't make yet.
Exactly.
And the only way that the baby's going to get it is from the breast milk. Yeah. But, like, you could get sick from eating your own placenta, so don't do it because it's stupid.
Yeah, you probably also shouldn't drink your own breast milk, too, because it's not going to do anything.
I fully intend. I actually just questioned random women on the street.
Yeah.
How do you know all this stuff?
I don't. It just comes to me, man.
Man, it's crazy.
I remember some things.
Wait, Griffin, you did med school for a little bit, right?
No, not really.
Pre-med.
It's fine.
Yeah. I was going to say, I like to approach random women on the street and ask if I can drink their breast milk to help develop my immune system.
I got very close to getting that to happen once. I was at a wedding.
Do I want to hear this story?
Yes.
I don't know. Do you?
Go ahead.
I was at a wedding and
correction. It's IGA.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah. It's okay. Iga? Close.
Yeah. He makes Castlevania.
Okay, but we have to hear Griffin's
story. IgG, that's the big one or the little one?
IgG is a small one.
Okay.
IgA is the one that is mucosal secreted, so that's in the breast milk.
Oh, yeah.
And IgM is the big one.
Oh, M is the big one. It's like all of them connected together.
It's 5 subunits of M connected.
That's a pretty one. Sorry, I was at a wedding, and... there was a super obnoxious dude there who I was at the bar having a drink, and this guy was just like being super rude. He was obviously very, very drunk and just wanting to get in people's faces. And one of the things he like, as all Lamar's people do, they like are attracted to me in some sort of like bully situation where they just want to pick on me. So I was like standing my ground with this guy and just going like talking nonsense with him.
Wait, what's that? Why was he picking on you?
I don't know, because they like people from my wife's hometown can just smell it on me that I'm not
from there. What on you? What are they smelling?
They smell not from small town Iowa, and they just like go after me like a pit bull.
Oh God, that sounds awful.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. So this guy was just like being a douche. So I tried to like meet him halfway, and he was like, "What do you want to drink? What do you want to drink? Let's go shot for shot. Let's do it." I'm like, "Okay, I'll drink anything." He's like, "Just name it. Just name it." I'm like, he's like, "You know, you name it, and I'll drink it." I'm like, "Breast milk." And he's like, he's like, "Shut up." I'm like, "Yeah, let's do it." And he's like, "My wife is, we just had a baby. She is like literally can't drink because she's lactating." And I'm like, "All right, I'm ready. Let's do it." And he went, asked her, and was denied.
Oh.
What followed was the freakiest, deekiest night of sex you've ever had.
It was all, yeah, exactly.
Sounds so bizarre.
Yep. But, so, I was pretty close.
Wow.
You're pretty close in more ways than one.
I would have been so healthy this year if that would have happened.
The good thing is you made him ask his wife if she would share her breast milk with random strangers. So I think you actually won in that competition.
Oh, I did. I would have won in any situation there. Because, you know, one, I get this idiot to go get yelled at by his stupid wife. Or I'm sorry, she may not have been stupid. But, you know, this idiot gets yelled at for asking a dumb question. Or I get to have superhuman lady drink that's going to make me even stronger.
That's what I call it when I'm talking to expectant mothers in a medical capacity. Uh-huh. Now you're gonna take your lady drink, uh-huh. you're gonna pump it out, and you give it to me.
It's a high margin black market.
Yeah,
it's the breast milk black market.
It's the white milk market. Do you think, you know how like in all RPGs they all become like, I don't know, like more west in the westernization process, they take out like the bar and they replace it with like the milk bar or the cafe. Yeah. Do you think that will eventually come back around full circle to where it's like there are milk bars in Japan because they accidentally localized this shit and they're like, Zelda loves a milk bar, but instead it's just human milk they're selling?
I'm pretty sure there's already a milk bar.
Good.
Where they pretend that you're drinking various hostesses' milk.
Yeah, you're probably right with that.
Kind of like the undergarment vending machines. And
yeah.
I mean, I'm sure they've been there.
Yeah. No, you're right.
There's nothing that we can't imagine that the Japanese people haven't already put into practice.
Don't they have like a
and
mom
gotten bored with?
Isn't there like a mom incest like trope or theme over there, where you bang your mom? Isn't that like a thing?
I don't know.
I would hope so.
I would imagine that exists in subcultures of everywhere.
Yeah. I think, but maybe I thought there was like a more visible market there or something. I don't know.
You should call them.
Can I just be really racist towards all Japanese people?
You should. Yeah. What else? what else you got?
Those wacky Japs. That's all I got. I'm not going any farther. Speaking of Japanese,
you don't
want to
drop any bombs this week?
Oh, Griff. wait. Speaking of Japanese people, I played Danganronpa 2 this week.
Speaking of terrible stereotype tropes.
Hey, you guys probably remember Danganronpa. It was that game where you are in a high school and you're with a bunch of other kids and there's like a bear and you have to kill each other. This one's kind of like that, except you're on an island now. And it's actually, I felt like the characters, I don't know how to feel about the characters. In some ways they were like weaker, but in other ways they were stronger. Like I think their tropes were a little less standout, but I think that some of their developments later on were better. But I think in a lot of ways they really beefed it up. Like they've doubled the length of all the trials. They're now all two-part trials. All the logic sections are way more interesting. Like I didn't go into every trial knowing who did it and how they did it. Like, I don't think there was any trial that I went to actually knowing who the killer was, which was impressive because in the first one, you just always know. I mean, did you have that experience, Griff, or like you just went in, you're like, it's clear who did this?
Yeah. I mean, there may have been one or two that I was like, I don't know what you're pointing me towards, but I have a suspicion. Most of the other ones, I was like, it's kind of clear what's going on here. I mean, at worst, it's like, I don't know who it is, but I know what happened. So let's get down to that.
And this one, you can pretty much count on always being mindfucked by the trial. Like,
okay.
You'll have things will be presented one way. There's a lot of closed rooms,
a lot
of closed rooms. And it's really cool. Actually, they're all really interesting trials.
Wait, like closed rooms. Like, do you mean that in terms of like
how the murders were committed?
Okay.
Not what did you think I meant?
Like literally closed rooms in the game that you explore later, or the situation is it's a closed room. How did this
Correct.
Happen? Okay.
Correct. The closed room is like a famous murder mystery trope. There's a lot of closed rooms. There's a lot of just like really like crazy things where the game just completely plays through the expectations. And I will say like it's interesting because some parts of the writing are like way stronger than the first game, but then there's other parts that are weaker. Like there's a little bit more cheesecake, which is a little weird. Like there's more like bikini shots, which I'm not totally thrilled about. And I think I told you guys about a scene where a girl falls over and somehow her legs are in the air, like with her like butt area showing. And then there's just a giant plate of food,
a giant plate of food
over her crotch. On the screen.
Oh God!
In like Batman style letters, it says "Spread Eagle."
Batman style letters?
Like, oh, like you know, like pow,
big comic
wham.
Book letters.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you meant like there's the bat logo. And then
No.
No, it's no. Batman.
That was good, Griff. It's weird. Some of the fan servicey stuff is a little much for me. It didn't ruin the game for me by any stretch, but it definitely is there and kind of just showing up from time to time and being kind of gross. There are other moments where they reference sex and they make sex related jokes that I feel more like I feel they land a lot better.
Yeah.
They're not stupid. They're like they're funny. Mm. I laugh. Like they're like maybe a dirty joke, but it's like.
Is it like dirty jokes from the first game where it's like you are teens together, boys and girls?
There's a couple of those.
Because those were just awful.
No, it's not like that. Also, I didn't think those jokes were that bad.
Those were so terrible. The joke was kids like to get it on. You have no supervision, so why aren't you already doing it?
No, it wasn't.
That was every joke. Every sex joke was, you kids better not be fooling around because you're unsupervised teens together.
How did you feel about some of the VLR jokes, Griff?
I would have to go back to it. I don't remember it.
Okay, it's somewhere between like
the VLR jokes. What I thought they were really out of place and really dumb, and that's it. Like,
okay,
they just didn't fit.
Okay, that's fair.
Like the scratch off thing was pretty. That was pretty much the peak for it. And thank God there may have only been like three other ones.
The scratch off thing. I thought it was funny because it was just so stupid. I think my way of coping with these terrible jokes is like I'm like, wow, like they're just making fun of this. They must be. And so I laugh because that's the only thing you can do. I laugh to prevent myself from crying.
I think you know, it would be more interesting if you went a different direction with that kind of a joke where it's teens in a situation unsupervised, like you could go in a different well. It's just that again, now to profile here, that Japanese mindset of like this is what kids do. Like, you know, based on the anime that I've watched, there is a subset of localizers or of people who create this content that think like when kids are together, they probably are going to bone, but we're not going to go that far. We're just going to like allude to it and make a silly joke.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. Griffin, I think maybe some of it I don't know if you're going to play it, but I think some of it will end a little better than other things for you. But there are some funny ones in there. And there are some stupid ones where like the camera pans over a girl in a bikini and you're like, this is just dumb. But it, on the whole, it
how
it
slow does it pan?
Pretty slow. I don't know if you have time to rub one out, Griff, but you can try.
Can I switch? can I switch over to Monster Mon piece in that time and rub one out?
Well, the good news is, if there's a still frame, you can hit the L button and make the text go away.
Oh, thank God! Yeah.
Because you never want to have to listen to them talk in those scenarios.
Much like real life.
Yeah. but that by and large kind of goes away as the story progresses. And it's really interesting. I think some of the characters are really cool. There is one particular character whom you meet really early on who there's some really great twists for him. There are more cool characters with interesting quirks and interesting histories than there were in the first game, I think. I don't know how to describe it. I mean, some of the second round of these students, because again there's 16 students, are even more boring than the first set. But some of them, like the payoff for the good ones, is so much better. And I think some of the major, like, they definitely play with, like, they do that thing that Link Between Worlds did, where they play with your expectations.
What?
You know how in Link Between Worlds, assuming that you played the first game, they set up these situations where, like, you'll expect something to happen as it did in the first game.
Okay, but they kind of what you're going with, yeah.
They kind of subvert it a little bit. They're definitely doing that a lot in this game.
Okay,
but they also, like, I think the storytelling is more like it's more expertly planned. It kind of feels more like VLR in that respect, I think. Okay. And that, like, you feel like when they started the story, like every single thing they were doing in the story was like planned in the service of the greater story, rather than just kind of like goofy weird things. Gotcha. I feel like the first one kind of meandered for a little bit before it kind of settled on what it was doing.
Yeah, and whereas then this fell one, really flat by the end of it.
Yeah, I like the game a lot, but you're welcome to feel that way. But
thank you.
but this one, everything feels more kind of purpose driven, and this even though it's a longer game, the plot is kind of like it's sped along very well. And like I said, stuff that you'll learn, like I noticed after I beat the game, and there was a bunch of reveals at the end. I like revisited stuff at the game that the game hadn't bothered to point back to be like, hey, did you notice this thing here that you didn't understand that now you do? But like, if you actually revisit those things after you beat the game, you're like, holy crap. Like they were confident enough in like their story that they didn't have to go back and be like, hey, look at this part again. Like, you know how like in The Sixth Sense, like it flashes back to all the scenes where where Bruce Willis wasn't actually there. So like, you're like, hey viewer, like Bruce Willis wasn't there. Do you get it? See, he wasn't there then.
I don't get that.
They don't do that in this game. There'll be scenes that they never go back to. That if you understand the ending, you're like, holy crap, like that makes a lot more sense. And that's really cool. And I like that bit too, but it was really good. It expands upon, I think the writing has been stepped up in a lot of areas. One weakness I do think though, is that they added a lot of new mini games in the trial and some of them are kind of shitty. they have like a sword fighting one, which is really bad.
Like insult sword fighting.
No, I wish. It's more like swipe the words on the screen and then hit the triangle button. Yeah, it's really bad. They have a logic snowboarding one.
Oh, now we're talking. Final Fantasy VII fans will agree.
Yeah, that one's pretty good. And then they have remember the Hangman's Gambit where you just have to fill in the word with letters?
Yep.
Yeah, they made it longer, so it's just worse now. Excellent. Now it's like fill in the letters, except also make sure they don't crash into each other.
Oh.
And make them bigger.
Oh.
And they call it the improved Hangman's Gambit, but it is not improved.
Wonderful.
But it's the payoff is really great, and even before the payoff, you're definitely hooked. I feel like the first one, like when you played it, like I think the ending parts were kind of VLR-esque, like in kind of the gravity of what was being revealed.
Nope.
But, okay, no fine. Way. Well, that's what they were going for, I think. This one, it definitely feels more like, it's more consistently kind of mindfucky, I think.
Okay.
I thought, anyway. Griff, I think you probably will still find reasons to hate it, because you're ready.
Well, dude, I mean, I played Danganronpa because of your suggestions.
Yes.
Correct. It was good. It wasn't as good as VLR.
That's true.
You cannot deny that it is that VLR is a better game.
I mean, I like Danganronpa a lot. I mean, yeah. I agree that VLR had more interesting stuff going on plot-wise, but I liked VLR's twist.
I liked VLR's twist too.
I mean, Danganronpa's.
Danganronpa's in comparison was just poorly developed, really weak, and very much more narrow in who it affected. The overarching repercussions of the story of Danganronpa were left hanging in a really boring way.
Interesting.
I think they did better with there was some more positive sides to individual characters in Danganronpa, but at the cost of the overall story, I think it just is really flaccid in comparison.
That's interesting because in Danganronpa, one thing that's different about that is there are actual like consequences in Danganronpa because like people actually die and they can't come back in that, whereas that's not entirely the case in VLR, you know?
Yes.
I do see what you're saying, though. I mean, it feels more
consequences
like
that are going to happen regardless of your actions.
Yes,
you're not going to
prevent
a murder by solving anything.
Yeah, yeah. This one, I don't know. I think it feels better. But Griff, I don't know if you're going to like it. Anyway,
I don't know if I'm ready for another visual novel this year. That's really all it comes down to. And from what you say, the payoff is worth it. I don't know. I may be better off just reading this one and waiting for the third one that is maybe a better game.
Maybe. I mean, yeah, some of the gameplay stuff, like I said, it is kind of a mixed bag about what's improved, what hasn't.
Yeah.
There are cool characters in this one, though. There's a cool character who exposes himself right after the first chapter, and he's always around being cool and weird, but...
All right.
Yeah. I don't know.
All right.
Maybe better just to read it.
All right.
For you. I loved it. I had a great time. But
well, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, that's all I played. Really?
Tell me more about the game that has characters exposing themselves that you really love.
What is that?
That's Jessica's cameo. She's not happy that I turned on the air conditioner.
It sounded like she said it's sketchy out.
I thought it's itchy out.
She said it's 50 out.
Oh,
she didn't know what she's talking about.
Man, you live in the Arctic tundra.
You do. 50. Oh boy. I think it's about the same here, though.
You both live in the Arctic tundra.
And by 50, I mean in the 50s outside. It's still black and white television and massive racism. Also, women are not allowed outside after dusk. Anybody else been playing anything that they're really into? Nope. Mm. All right.
Nope.
Yeah, that's about it. I played some Diablo 3 and
liking it more?
Nope, not really. Played it for probably 15 hours total. Kind of binged on it hard one day, got really far. Well, not really far, but I guess spent a lot of time and then walked away from it, went to play it again and I couldn't, and then I knew that I'm good on it. So, that was fine. I had a good time with it.
Does it look good?
It looks great, I think.
Yeah.
It's fine.
But it's not like you put it on and you're like, oh, Jesus, this is beautiful.
No, I wasn't like initially blown. I
mean, sweet Lord above.
Look at that hair texture.
My eyeballs.
No, it was fine. Like it was a top down isometric action game in 2000. Late teens, early teens. It looks fine.
Gotcha.
Those spell effects look pretty cool, and there could be a hell of a lot of enemies on screen one time. That was pretty rad. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm not with you guys in that I disliked it. It didn't speak to me after a certain point.
Is it Diablo 2?
I don't know, as a person who didn't care for Diablo 2 in any way, shape, or form, so I don't know. But I hear there's rainbows in it, so no?
No!
Also, I hear there's a lady voice in it, so no? Yeah.
I don't want them in my games.
No, goodness, right? They ruin everything.
Enough of them in real life. Taking their jobs.
Can I say one more thing about
Farm them for
Rupa?
Their milk.
Can I say one more thing about Danganronpa that Griffin's going to somehow hate? Uh-huh. There's a dude in it who has four hamsters, and he calls them the four dark devas of destruction.
The four dark... Wait, this is critical here. What is the second word?
Or devas?
What?
Devas. D-E-V-A-S.
What is a deva?
It's in Chrono Cross.
What?
There's devas in Chrono Cross. Some kind of soldier or something.
Oh.
Or master.
What?
It's a word.
I don't get it. I thought it was four dark Davids, which was amazing.
No, unfortunately.
Four dark Davids. I don't know about that one, though.
See, I told you wouldn't like it.
Sounds great to me.
That one joke. Sold.
It really is great. No, it's good. I can't speak eloquently about it because it's hard to describe all at once. But it's good. It is good. I just don't know, Griff, if it's going to be enough to sway you because I don't think you really like the first one that much, and it has a lot of the same elements. When it gets heavy, it gets even heavier than the first one though, and it does it in more interesting ways, I think.
All right.
So that's a thing. Okay. Sorry. That's all.
First one was, it was a good game to play. It just, to me, it was too anime, dumb anime-y.
Mm. This one's pretty dumb anime-y.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's great, though. Yeah. Some good dumb anime.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I'm sure if I played it, I'd enjoy it, but I don't know. I don't think I would.
You gotta like dumb anime, man.
You know, yeah. No.
I mean, they're calling themselves Ultimates. It's gonna be dumb.
Yeah, exactly.
Jamie, there's a thing in the game where all the characters are like ultimate whatever. So there's like the ultimate cook, or the ultimate nurse,
amazing,
or what else is there? In that
the
one?
Ultimate video game player, and then
yeah,
it's
the
like,
ultimate gamer. Yep.
Oh, bad. Did you hear about the NGPC? I meant the Neo Geo Pocket Color, not the new game portable console that you're playing this on. Ha 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 ha. That would be a joke in Danganronpa, too, probably.
The ultimate nature of the ultimates feels a little bit more ancillary in this one, Griff. But
the ultimate natures of the ultimates. Okay.
What I'm trying to say is their ultimateness is less of a central plot point in this one.
I mean, that was kind of the situation in the last game too, where you know, a lot of them actually kind of like weren't what they claimed to be.
I mean, in theory they were, but there was nothing in the game.
It's like the ultimate rookie baseball player who quit playing baseball and proceeded to pursue a rock career.
Well, he at least showed off his ultimate ability in a sense in the game.
He did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. To play baseball?
No, in one of the cases, his ultimate ability actually came into play.
Oh, all right. I don't remember that.
Okay.
But did it involve baseball?
A little bit. He hit something with a bat through a small hole.
Oh. He used a bat?
He did, yeah.
Huh.
Or something like a bat.
I thought he just like threw something.
Maybe he threw it. I can't remember anymore.
See, but he doesn't even remember the game he played. See, this is...
I don't remember the
objection.
<tiny detail. laughs> The cases in this one feel more like Phoenix Wright level batshit insane.
Objection!
But in the best way, and the logic is good.
Objection.
Good.
Nothing from Jamie on that one. He must be gone.
Jamie's deep in golf. Deep in golf.
What hole are you deep in?
he's golf. Golf balls deep.
I'm on the back.
Hitting the fringe.
I prefer the back nine to the front nine.
Yeah. Mm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I like the immature nine.
Oh no.
The amateur nine.
Oh god, no.
Did you say amateur or immature?
Both. Try them both out.
Let's not do it.
I clubbed up on both those.
I don't want the NSA to come after us for
They're
your
already listening. They're already listening.
It's true.
There are only listeners.
PlayStation, NSA. So I also played some Destiny, the non-alpha nor beta version of this game.
Yeah.
The gamma, right? That comes next. Alpha, beta.
Gamma, delta, epsilon.
Yeah. Well, I guess whatever after the beta.
Is it the Omega version?
No, that there's going to be DLC, so I'm pretty certain that this is not the Omega version. And there was a day one patch, so God, no, definitely not.
Are we going to need more than just the Greek alphabet to get to the end of this?
Yeah, you're going to need the Master Chief alphabet or whatever.
So what do you think, Griff?
Space alphabet. It's the exact goddamn thing I played already, so hey, look at that.
I'm assuming you game flyed it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, good.
Yep.
It was a good choice.
I know.
There are four planets, correct?
There's not.
How many planets are there?
There's three planets and a moon.
Okay.
That's it? That's the whole game?
Yes, sir.
How many of those areas did we see in the beta or whatever?
Well, so far, 1/4.
So in the beta, we saw 1/4 of the game.
Yep, because Earth is old Russia.
That's it.
That's it.
Yeah. Oh.
Shoot some tanks there.
Then
you go to the moon, and presumably, I can go to the moon, I just haven't gone yet.
Is the moon multiplayer only?
No, every level is open to a single player portion of it. Okay. I can go to the moon, but I'm assuming that multiplayer level that we played on there'll be a similar kind of like Spartan industrial kind of clean room and then massive crater like space vibe to it.
Well, I'm guessing you can find wizards on the moon.
Redacted. You can't find redacted. That's no.
Wizards no longer even come from the moon?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about. There's a wizard up there, but I mean, up there could be the moon. You could say he's all the way up there, but that's pretty ridiculous.
This is just like, from everything that I've heard, the way that you're talking about it now, even though you haven't said much, this is like everything I hate about video games rolled into a single video game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds kind of like trash.
I mean, had I not played the alpha and the beta, like, this opening bit may have been a little bit more exciting, like it was in those, but it's literally literally the exact same thing I've already done. What is somebody eating right now?
I'm not eating.
Okay.
Anything?
I'm not doing anything.
There's like
either.
Somebody
I'm
opening fruit
here.
Snacks or something.
Not it.
Damn it.
No.
Well, okay. So it is, if you played that beta, it is the start of that where you get awoken. The fuck?
I heard it too. Jamie, it's you.
Jamie's eating something. You're eating your gourmet frozen meals, you fancy bastard.
Griffin, let's kill him.
Okay.
Let's just kill him right now.
I'm going to send him a copy of Danganronpa 2 and then he'll kill himself.
No, he won't.
Out of
Jamie,
boredom.
Like it. Jamie, what's your tolerance for some level of stupid anime craziness?
Jeff, you keep talking about this game. I gotta go grab something. You just can't stop.
It's really good. They're worth playing. I really think they are worth playing.
I'm not eating any snacks. Now I want some snacks, but I'm already at my calorie limit for the day.
As am I. Jamie, I also had a frozen meal, but mine was a smart meal.
Mine was a Stouffer's meal. I believe it said smart somewhere on the package.
Mine was a Smart Ones from Weight Watchers.
A smart ones?
Smart Ones. I got one Smart Ones.
I'm really trying. My diet is working fabulously, but I'm really trying not to eat like too many of those types of things. And I'm trying to like go out as frequently as I possibly can because I feel like being able to go out and like order some food and still maintain the calorie is like crucial to not being like socially ostracized.
No, I agree. Whenever I can, I do that, but I work really long days, so it's not always possible during the week.
But yeah. That's what I've been liking to do if I can. Like, if I can go out and have, like, a healthy meal out and feel good about it and be full, then it's, like, the best of all worlds because I feel really awesome about the diet. But I've already lost, like, 6.5 pounds as of today, which is crazy.
I'm at 14.
Wait, you lost 6 pounds in one day?
No.
Did you lose an arm?
No, in 1.5 weeks.
Oh, good for you.
Thank you.
But I'm at the point now where people who haven't seen me for 6 months, like, actually, like, mention it.
That's so awesome.
Just wait till after the wedding it all comes back.
Well, I'm doing like an extreme diet pre-wedding, and then I'm gonna lighten up a little bit, but still diet.
I have terrible days where I'm like 100% over my limit, and I'm still just dramatically losing weight.
That's so cool.
Are you taking heroin? Yes. And the heroin is cardio kickboxing with Desi and Mushir.
I've got this great little dieting trick. It's called cancer.
Ah, man. If you really want to lose weight quick, TB. Little known fact. TB.
I've heard Ebola can help too.
Mm. Well, Ebola, you'll just die. TB, you could untreated, you could just live for years and years and years.
Wait,
are you saying
TB as in tuberculosis?
Yep.
How would that make you lose weight?
I don't know. I know the mechanism of the disease in and out, but it's just a common finding. If you have a patient and they've got pneumonia and they've got night sweats, shaking, chills, and weight loss, that's TB, 100%.
Huh.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Just the word tubercles grosses me out.
I know. And I didn't really realize until recently that that's like an actual finding, like a radiologic finding. They don't call it that anymore. But they used to like take a radiograph of your chest and there'd be little like tubers there.
Yep.
And be like, oh, you've got tuberculosis.
You got the tuber chest.
Yeah.
Or you're like the potato boobs.
Griffin, can you speak at length about potato boobs?
Yes.
Potato
boobs.
Is that like an Idaho thing?
Yeah. That's our sister state, Idaho. We produce the corn, the corn ears, and they produce the potato boobs. Potato boobs started in 1964 during the renaissance of the baked snack goods era. At that time, all that was available was puffed wheat, and obviously that was not deep fried, so that was something that was not successful in Middle America. Then a small town farmer came up by the name of William Baxterton. You've probably heard of him.
Yeah,
The Lay's family. He decided to take a potato and slice it and deep fried it in whale fat. This proved difficult because it left the chips completely fucking disgusting. So eventually, this progressed into people just stuffing them in the restaurant that they were eating the potato boobs into their bras and corsets, then they would go to their doctor forgetting that they had done that. And the doctor would say, oh, you got the potato boobs, after he took their devil image through the inside box.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
We still use that technology.
That's good to know. Yeah.
Yeah.
It actually pairs nicely with DOS, I'm sure.
Yeah. Exactly. Good to know.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Facts.
So
that whole story is something that all Iowa students need to memorize by the age of 7.5 months.
I have a question about Destiny.
Okay.
And that question is the following. So every, like, listening to them talk about it in Giant Bomb, everything else that I read makes it seem like the story is so half-assed. Is that true?
I don't know yet. I can't say for certain because I'm still in Old World Earth and I haven't made it to any other planets. And maybe when I do, something kicks off. I talked to a guy I work with today and he said he got to run around with a giant sword, so that sounds cool.
Huh.
That's something I haven't done, so I want to keep playing until I encounter that.
So from what I'm hearing, the story is really bad.
Yeah, I mean, not Danganronpa bad, but it's...
You shut your mouth.
You know, I'm worried that it's going to kind of go that new Halo route of, like, we're going to tell more of the story outside of the game than in the game. And like, it's like, enjoy the expanded universe, because you're not going to get what you want just by playing it. Like...
Does anyone want that universe expanded?
Well, nope. I mean, it's like you kind of have to establish that it's worthwhile to be in before you expand upon it and expect people to go out and pursue that stuff. You
it's
know?
It's very successful. 500 million in a day.
Right.
Holy God.
Yeah. Yeah.
500 so million it's a, dollars, right?
Yeah, half a billion dollars. So it's a billion-dollar franchise.
Yeah, it's no Call of Duty.
Why is it a billion-dollar franchise?
I don't know.
Well, because nobody else has anything to play, and they advertised the crap out of it.
Yep.
And I will say this, if I didn't play either of those betas, I would probably be having a lot more fun with it right now, because all this stuff would be new, and that's why I want to try and get to some new content and see if there is actually, you know, some merit to it.
Nothing wrong with the actual gameplay, it's just the wrapper that it's in, I don't approve of.
I just feel like it felt like a shittier Borderlands when I was playing it. I don't know. Like, I haven't yet seen what there is in this game that is, like, what's good about, like, what's uniquely good about this game other than, like, the spit shine polish, whatever the word is.
I'm with you.
I think that's it. I mean, I think that that's it. Like, it is a more refined Borderlands.
But like, it's super boring.
Yep.
Like, it's polished, but not fun.
The universe is just flat.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're approaching a game and you think that shooters aren't fun, then you're probably not going to find the shooter very fun, because it's just kind of a crappier shooter that's you know, pairing really nicely with an online experience that has never been replicated before.
I guess so. I mean, I guess it's unique in that it's Borderlands except an actual MMO instead of kind of... Pseudo MMO.
I mean, it isn't even an actual MMO since there's no matchmaking, so that's fucking weird. But we knew that going in.
We the fans.
Well, it was... yes, specifically the people who signed up for the alpha and the beta. Don't you think about it. Hey! Billy!
What is happening?
She jumped up on the entertainment
Jamie,
center.
How are you going to get yelled at or otherwise have your podcasting intro?
Well, I just sat on my couch, so I just did it to myself. No one else is around. That's why I'm losing all the weight. I just poop more frequently. Because I can control it with
my
chakra.
That sounds awesome. Oh.
Yeah.
I thought you, like, strengthened your internal, like, smooth muscles so intensely that you can control them now. And
I think that shitting on command comes from opening the eighth gate.
Oh, right. That's where the demon fox lives.
No, that was Guy.
Oh, okay.
God.
Sorry.
You people.
Out me on my dated Naruto knowledge. Thanks, Jeff.
I hope that show is still going.
Last week, calling me out on... Hey, you can't be touching that right... I gotta get her out of here. I'll be right back.
Jamie, while Griffin's gone, you should play Danganronpa. Buy the first one. It's good.
I will. Everything that you've said about the game really makes me want to play it. I wish they were like $10 each.
Yeah, I'm guessing they're not going to go down anytime soon because I don't think they have big print runs. But maybe they'll go on sale because they're all online now. So maybe that's your chance to get them.
Normally I'd just steal it, but I would feel bad stealing this game because it sounds like it's so unique and... So that would make me feel bad.
But you can't really steal them anyway because they're Vita titles, so...
I can steal anything. If I can steal, like, $800 Photoshop things, I could probably steal that game, right?
I guess. I mean, the Vita hasn't been cracked yet, but yeah.
You could probably download it, but not play it. So, yeah, I mean,
gotcha. gotcha.
What do you
need to get some? You need to get some wares.
Wares?
Yeah, you need some wearable wares.
I didn't even think about the fact that it's a portable, and sometimes those are tricky. I was, yeah.
Yeah.
So I see what you're saying. That's yeah. So yeah, I'll get it.
What are you
getting? I'll get it eventually. I'm saturated right now. I've got like, you know, I have to finish the Shovel Knight game. Hmm. I have to play the PT demo and also other things on my PS4.
Yeah.
And I've got so much to play on my Vita and my PS. Oh my God. Is this all
portable?
Yeah. And my iPad. I've got episodes of Telltale games that I got to play. It's so much. So much.
Yeah. Stuff. I'm surprisingly saturated too.
You
despite,
poor white man, you.
I was going to say, I'm surprisingly saturated too, despite there not really being any huge releases this year.
Yeah.
I was looking at my list of games that I played, and there's nothing like AAA and like really awesome on there that really stands out.
Yeah. Not like previous years for sure, but
yeah.
They're coming.
Yeah.
Not for you, but for me.
You can play the AAA game BioShock on your iPad now.
Oh, yes.
Nope.
With shitty graphics and shittier controls.
I'm totally on board with XCOM iPad. I've thought about buying that many times, but not BioShock.
No, XCOM would be fine.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm totally on board with that.
I hope they do that, that Double Fine Tactics game on iPad.
Iron Brigade?
No, Massive Chalice.
Yeah.
Oh, Massive Chalice. They probably will.
I hope so.
They probably will.
Iron Brigade on iPad would be great. Did you guys play that?
I didn't. It is a great shame.
Yeah, it's a great. I actually I have that on my Xbox, my brother's Xbox. I played. It was like one of the reasons I convinced my brother to get an Xbox.
Did you play Iron Brigade or did you play Trenched?
I can't remember, but I played that game.
All right.
Didn't it finally come to PC?
Yeah, it did.
Awesome. I should
get it. I'm not sure if I bought it again, but I might have. I convinced my brother to get an Xbox 360 so that I could play Fez and that game on it.
Good choice. Good choice.
And they've both finally come to other platforms.
Yeah, exactly.
Waiting paid off.
But I made him buy it, so all's well that ends well.
Still haven't played Shadow Complex.
If only I had a very impressionable little brother. If only.
That game's great. I'm surprised they haven't put that out on iPad.
Yeah,
I don't think the market would be there. Yeah. Well, maybe it would.
I think if you put that on anything, it would do well.
You think so?
Yeah.
I guess it's been long enough. Maybe that there's like a whole new audience that might get behind it.
Yeah, I think that Orson Scott Card is the secret cock blocker of this situation.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah.
He's got to stop. I mean, the gays use iPads, so
yeah.
You can't let them have it.
Well, hears that all people talk about, like all the gays exist on Xbox because that's what everybody's talking about, just being gay. So, you know, he's made his mistake.
True.
He's like, I'm never putting a video game out because just people talk. That's where all the gays hang out because that's how they talk
about. All those 9-year-olds on Xbox Live, they're just looking for other people like them. That's why they're always hurling homosexual slurs.
It's a breeding ground.
Yeah. Griff, what are you looking forward to in the fall? I'm curious.
Call of Duty?
Oh, yeah.
Looks pretty good.
That looks good. Yeah.
Far Cry 4 looks really amazing. Like,
okay.
Hopefully just as good as Far Cry 3, if not better.
Okay.
There's probably some other ones. I'm looking forward to Zelda Musou, sadly enough.
Wait, Zelda Hyrule Warriors?
Yeah, and Bayonetta 2.
You little sneaky bastard. You were like playing that close to the chest.
What are you talking about?
I'm sure you have expressed derision towards Hyrule Warriors on at least one occasion.
Oh yeah, I'm sure it's going to be dumb as hell. I'm sure it's going to be hot, hot trash. But I'm going to play it.
Yeah. What happened in that Bayonetta 2 direct? I haven't watched it yet. Is there anything about Bayonetta 2 that looks especially new or different, or is it just Bayonetta 1 with more combos?
That's about it. Yeah.
Black kids.
There's, some new characters. They kind of, what I'm worried about is they seem like they may have, now, there's a lot of cool stuff in the videos that they've shown, and what was so awesome about Bayonetta was just being surprised by where it went and kind of some of the actions that happened in it. and how they changed up the gameplay, though they were not 100% well-paced. They were cool. In this game, they've already shown some weird stuff where it's like, you're riding something. You are, there's a mech sequence. Like, there's a lot of, there's like, you are fighting in the foreground and fighting in the background. Like, they're kind of showing off.
That's crazy.
I'm worried it's too much that they're showing already, that I'm going to be like, oh, I remember that from the trailer. I remember that from the trailer.
Well, I guess I won't watch the direct then.
Don't. I mean, really don't. Because if you're going to play it for Bayonetta 1, I mean, it looks like Bayonetta 2 is going to be super great. And the enemy designs for the Hell Monsters look really, really cool. Like, really, really cool. Like, they're like, we didn't try and make demons. We tried to make, like, things that were... like, what did they describe them as, like, zero elements or something that was, like, a neutral element? So everything is, like a blocky, weird cube that unfolds into this, like, mechanical, weird earth monolithic kind of puzzle box creature. So
I like the sound of that.
Yeah, the Hell Demons look really cool.
I just like that I can now play yet another game that I avoided getting on PS3. And was jealous of the Xbox 360
for. Oh, yeah. PS3 was I can get trash on that one.
Yeah, Bayonetta 1 in 60 frames per second on Wii U.
Yeah.
Because it's packed in with every copy of the game, right?
I have no idea. I don't know. I played it on the 360, and I liked it a lot. Yeah.
In Europe, it is not.
Gold standard.
In Europe, the original Bayonetta is not in every game.
Okay.
But I think here it is.
Okay, sweet.
Yeah.
I'd like to think that that's like one of those cereal box promotions like Cracker Jacks. It's like, there's a 1 in 10 chance of finding a Bayonetta in every box. It's like, oh man, all I got is this dog whistle. My copy of Bayonetta for the PS2 had a water-soluble tattoo.
Well, I want Bayonetta with fox ears, because then my animal fetish can finally be satisfied. Okay,
that is probably the one weird thing that they kept saying in that direct. That now this is again probably just me reading into things like I do, but they kept saying like in this edition of Bayonetta 2, we are having special costumes that are only available on the Wii U Entertainment Console edition. And you're like, wait, what? Like, of course, because it's the only one that you've made. So, of course, these Nintendo characters would be in this game that you made for this system edition. That's weird for you to say that. Why are you saying that?
Directly to you.
I found it very strange.
I can't speak to that because didn't see it.
Well,
but it sounds weird.
Okay, thank you for agreeing. I just think that seems kind of strange that you would that in their direct they would say that repeatedly and call attention to it being like the Wii U edition. So I don't know, maybe it's gonna come out somewhere else is all I'm trying to say. Somebody just dropped the mic.
That was me.
No,
sorry about
just
that.
Walked away just like boom, too real. What?
No, I the call just got dropped because I think the iPhone or the iPad maxed out on RAM.
Blaming your noises on me, eh?
Yeah,
with my new headset.
It was all you. I didn't do it.
How was your gourmet dinner meal? Now every time you open one of those ventilated packages, do you perform a C-section on it and unpack all the insides out of it, put it in the microwave, cook it, and then put it back in?
A 1-inch incision in the packaging, you just instinctively pull out the stuff inside.
Scalpel.
So I always thought that the way that I would hack away at my cadaver in med school was like not the way that they would do surgery on a person who's alive, because that'd be crazy. But like, actually, the way that, like, I was just, like, randomly hacking at my cadaver with no skill or anything is basically how surgery's done.
All right.
Just, like, straight up, let's open it up. Yep. Get in there.
We're going in.
As fast as possible.
You call that, now that's a knife.
You can go in with more reckless abandon, though, right? Like, you tear those ribs out.
You just rip them out. Just rip them. Just do it.
That's why they're called ribs.
I remember asking my instructor the first day of anatomy class, like, so, like, what should I be feeling for? Like, how deep do I want to go? I don't want to, like, penetrate any organs. And he looked at me like I was retarded. And he's a surgeon. And I'm like, he's like, what do you mean? And he's like, oh, just go for it. Just do it. I'm like, oh, all right, fine.
Yeah, but you're probably like, you know, the 80th, you know, kid that week that was like, hey, doc, how much, like, which chakra should I be getting past here? He's like, I don't know, just fucking cut it up and then we'll figure it out.
But that's what they, like, they don't really like, if you're doing, like, a C-section, for example, like, you literally can't cut deep enough with your scalpel to, like, harm the child, and you want to get through everything. So when they start the C-section, they're just literally just hacking away, just, like, ripping it open.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And then they're like, is that big enough? No? Okay, we're just going to make it a little bigger. Okay, we're done. All right.
So wait, you're pretty much telling me that Surgeon Simulator Surgeon Simulator is an actual accurate representation of surgery.
It's 100% accurate. 100%. Everything is the same. Actually, they use
It's all live action footage.
They use Surgeon Simulator not even to train doctors. They just use it to perform surgeries.
Perform surgery, yeah.
Yeah.
That ice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they probably actually use it to take and make surgeons who are too good, because you know you don't want to have them like looking better than the other surgeons who
exactly.
are just doing their job.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
yeah. Quit not killing people, Barbara.
Excuse me, it's Dr. Barbara.
It's actually Barbara. Do you guys? That's a Flight of the Conchords reference.
I vaguely remembered that one.
That was season Excellent. 2, which was terrible.
I'm glad you guys all remember. Season 2 was not... It had some bad moments. It had some good moments, though, too. Too Many Dicks on the Dance Floor is a great song.
Yeah, it is.
Yes.
Highlight. It's no season 1, though.
Yeah.
Here they're coming back for a third season, potentially.
Are you serious?
Yeah, some collusion with Wired or some... fucking magazine for hipsters where they might be commissioning some like shorts or something for Flight of the Conchords.
Speaking fact. Of rumors
fact
speaking of rumors is there any rumors in the world of gaming right now, guys?
There's never rumors. The video game world is rumor free. It is black and or white. Wait, no, black or white.
I heard a little something about this big old company called Microsoft might be buying Mojang. There was a story on NPR today about it. It was really funny.
Really?
Yes.
I think this is one of the most uninteresting things to happen in games because it's like the biggest dad headline. It's like, hey, son, you see that that game you're playing out on the computers? You can finally play it through the Microsoft box. Yeah.
Well, the joke that that Justin McElroy was making on Twitter is like Microsoft is so good at being late to the party. Like their next acquisition, and they'll be like, it's going to be called the Microsoft iPad. Like I think this thing is going to take off. I don't know why they would want it. That's the only thing that confuses me. Like, why would they pay $2 billion for Mojang? Like, what they get?
The newest.
You get royalties on every copy that sells.
The newest hot info is that Mojang himself instigated the deal.
Mr.
You mean not, Jamie?
Excuse me, Mr. Mojang is my father.
That guy. I will call him Mojang from now on. Mr. Mojang instigated the deal in the first place.
All right, well, whatever.
On the NPR story, they were like, you can learn coding from Minecraft.
Really?
So dumb. Oh no.
He was supposed to have a game that was supposed to teach coding and basic, and that it was like, you remember that, where it was like C equals hashtag 514 parentheses.
You're mixing that game up with the composer for Minecraft, who has a very similar name to that.
I don't know, what is the composer of Minecraft?
Like C492 or something, or I don't know, something like that.
He had a game that was like an equation name, and it was like based on a spaceship where you had to learn coding to play it.
That game never happened.
That would have been really good because that sounded pretty cool.
Yeah, I think he can that game. You mean the OX1101 or something?
Sure.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to call all developers by the names of their companies. So right. So Tim Schafer is Double Fine.
Okay.
Now Double Fine.
Who is Square? Who is she?
Who is 4chan?
Oh, God, am I one of them? I'm one of them.
Apparently it's pronounced Mojang, guys.
Oh, okay.
That's what I learned today on NPR. They usually have good gaming people on NPR, but this person was a doofus who knew nothing about it.
There was a fantastic article in the New York Times about the Dota Championship.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And they were describing MOBAs in like the best possible way.
Okay. That
made no sense whatsoever.
They were like, it was a front page article, right?
It was front page of that section.
Oh, okay. But, go on, sorry.
Yeah, they were just using all of these analogies that really didn't like land. They're like, imagine football, but it's fantasy football.
Okay.
But
okay.
Not fantasy football.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like fantasy, like Lord of the Rings fantasy football.
You're losing me.
Just kept going.
Keep going.
Wait, so going back to this thing for a second. So
Peter Jackson presents football.
Griffin, do you think that the royalties...
Each quarter is three movies.
Do you think that the royalties on future sales of Minecraft would justify a $2 billion purchase?
No.
That game's only made like $50 million or something.
I think that there are smart business people that made this decision, and it's not like, oh, Microsoft, you're so dumb. What are you doing this for? There's probably a good reason for it. So maybe there's more benefit in exploring a positive side to it. So there's, I'm thinking out loud here, but they're probably going to get some cut of future sales, and every video game exists only for its sequel. So they're probably going to expect to make that $2 billion back on monetizing some sort of Minecraft 2 or some sort of DLC program that, you know, already exists for Minecraft, but on consoles where they can put like a cash value to that. And they have that weird crap where you like pay money for skins. So
okay.
I think there's avenues for money.
By the way, it made $330 million last year.
Okay.
So I was totally wrong about those numbers. I just wanted to hear what you guys thought, because I can't wrap my head around it. Like, I don't understand the acquisition. So I'm not particularly negative on it. I just don't get it. Like, I don't understand what the value is.
Because Minecraft is a platform that is like the biggest game thing that's out there right now.
Do you think it would lend itself well to a sequel? Like, what would a Minecraft sequel look like?
I don't think that matters. I think that if you put something out that's called Minecraft 2, people are going to buy Minecraft 2.
Hmm.
And if they buy it, they'll at least just buy it once to recoup that cost, and then who the fuck cares?
Yeah. Apparently, Notch is wanting to get out, and he, like Jamie said, he initiated the deal.
Well, I saw a tweet from him that said $2 billion. I guess $2 billion is my sellout point. And you're like, fine. I mean, he has every right to. Like, it's only weird because in the past he's said, like, negative things against Microsoft.
Oh, yeah, no, it's totally fine. He can do whatever he wants. It's weird that they're paying that and they're not getting him with it, I guess.
Mm. Yeah. Good for him.
Yeah.
I'm sure he doesn't want anything to do with it anymore.
No, he hasn't worked on the game in you know, almost 3 years, but I just wanted to get a read from you guys of like what your gut reaction was, like what your thought process was, like what they would be doing with this. Cause so you think, Griffin, it's just like inevitable sequel, keep milking it.
I think it's a smart move. Like,
suck all that cheat.
It's a smart business move. Like, somebody out there says this bar graph and this bar graph or line graph or whatever meet up at this point, we can make this much of a profit from it if we buy it, where there's zero risk because everybody loves Minecraft and we can guarantee we recoup everything in our sequel. If it's just another big thing, we can get a third one out of it. Huzzah, let's do it. But I don't think this was bought to further like the grand golden image of video games, like the form of video game. Like, I don't think this is done for any reason that goes beyond just profit.
Can I ask the question that everyone's too afraid to ask? What's going to happen to Minecraft Vita?
Wait, Jeff, you said earlier that the game has only made $50 million?
I corrected myself. I was completely wrong about that. That was like in 2010. It made like $330 million last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I cut out for a little, but while I was cutting out, I was checking on that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I was totally wrong on that. I'm still perplexed. I don't really get it, but I guess they're going to make sequels and put them on Xbox One.
Yeah. I mean, it would be silly not to. It's extremely profitable.
Yeah. It seems like such a strange game to sequelize because I don't with the like the full mod support and the fact that PC, I guess, I don't know. I guess if you consoleize it, you could sequelize it. But on PC, it just doesn't, I don't understand it because you're just constantly updating it. But.
What? I mean.
It's like a World of Warcraft sequel. Like, it's hard to do that well.
It's like Mario Kart.
That's true. But Mario Kart is so controlled. Like, Mario Kart doesn't have mod support. Mario Kart doesn't have access to updates that improve graphics. You know what I mean? Like,
right. Well, it doesn't really have that on the consoles either. I mean, it does to some extent with having patches, but...
But what would they put in the... Like, what would they put in Minecraft 2?
It doesn't matter. That's the point. It doesn't matter. Like, the fact that it would just say Minecraft 2 as the title. Hey, did you like Minecraft? Fans of Minecraft will like Minecraft 2. Done.
Microsoft is going to be like, we got rid of those shitty blocks.
They're all spheres now. Good luck.
No, they're gonna upgrade the graphics. They're gonna be like, that's last gen.
They're gonna be like,
now it's a first person shooter.
Now in this game, you chisel away at the cubes to get to the center.
Will they add football?
And Peter Jackson. Yeah,
excellent.
And Peter Dinklage.
Peter Jackson presents Minecraft 2.
What will happen to the PC community after this, do you think? Like, do you think that it will have an effect?
No.
Nothing at all?
No.
I don't think that if they do what you're describing, I don't think that the PC version could exist in the same way that it did.
That's an area that I don't know enough about because there's a lot of weird, like, third-party servers. I also don't really know what Microsoft's PC server network is looking right now after Games for Windows Live has gone away. So how they're going to manage something like that where, you know, before you would download Minecraft and you could pay money to have server access or whatnot. Like, I don't know how they're going to bring that on with what they have as in place infrastructure. I think they'd probably just let it go and they're going to focus on the console versions of them.
That's just crazy to me. Like, I can't even, like, wrap my head around it.
And
like,
you know what? Like, probably the tablet. And be like, well, the Surface 2 will feature Minecraft 2.
I mean, it is a fact that Minecraft, which got its start on PC, and it is very much, it feels like a PC game, has sold far more on console than it has on PC. That's where the bulk of the revenues come from. I mean, they made a lot on PC, but they made way, way more on console.
Mm-hmm.
It's just very strange to think of it as a game that will
because you had to pay for it on that one.
Well, you have to pay for it on PC as well, but it's
cost. You can play Minecraft for free on a PC.
I paid like $30 for my copy.
Well, I mean, I guess maybe now since it's not beta, but there was a time when you could play it for free.
Yeah, but that's kind of the whole thing with the game. It changes all the time. Like, it's constantly changing. Like, there is the occasional, you know, let's say every couple months patch for consoles, but it changes every week for Minecraft, and it changes in small ways and sometimes in huge ways. That's why I feel like it's a game that like wouldn't I can't understand how it would become something that is like annualized or sequelized or whatever. Like, it just doesn't make any sense to me. From what my experience, I never played the console version, but from what my experience with Minecraft is, when I was actually engaged with it for some time, like I don't see how that could happen without alienating an important part of the base. But I guess we'll find out in due course.
Well, like any good console player, we're okay with it not changing and not having the PC support, so that doesn't matter. Like
Go ahead.
I don't think that Minecraft for a person who's playing it on a console is that evolving, changing, like, landscape. It is Minecraft. It's that game where you build blocks and shit and make tree houses.
I mean, that's,
I guess. I guess for me, Minecraft has been defined by like you play in it, and then like, hey, next week we're adding witches and we're changing a huge part of the game, and you're like, holy shit! Like they just changed this game significantly.
And how?
But I guess the console player.
Yeah.
The console player is like, oh, like you know,
we got witches. Blocks. We're happy with witches. We don't need the big change. We'll take the witches.
Yeah, it's just so it's just so dramatically different a game than it was when it started, and it has continued to evolve. And it just for me to think that this game, which has changed so much without ever getting a sequel, the idea of a 2 is like such a strange. Just like with Jamie, it's like what does that even mean?
Third person shooter.
It doesn't. I mean, why does it need to change? Like, I guess I don't understand. You guys are saying like Minecraft needs to change. Like, why don't they just say, no, we're done patching this. We're going to make the same Minecraft, put a bunch of patches on this new copy. Now it's the same goddamn Minecraft. It's just called 2.
Yeah, obviously that's what they could and probably will do.
Yeah.
And that's their right to do it and go ahead and make a ton of money doing that. I think what Jeff and I are thinking more along the lines is like, just for us, like, what can they do for gamers like us that would make us interested in this new thing
that they're going to do? Well, I'm not even thinking about being interested because I played Minecraft. I liked it for a
while.
Well,
it's as people who actively reject Microsoft, I don't think they can do anything for you.
No, it's not that. I'm just confused. I'm like,
yeah, I love Microsoft.
My brother has a 360.
I owned a Surface tablet for a period of time, so I hate Microsoft.
When did you own a Surface tablet?
For a period of time. I promptly returned it.
I returned it. Yep, there we go. Yep.
I wanted to believe.
All right.
So there you go. I don't hate Microsoft.
Objection!
So I guess we're kind of like, it's almost to Griffin. I bet what we're asking is similar to like, what are they going to put in Diablo 3 that makes it different from Diablo 2? And no. The answer is like, not nothing.
You're asking the question of like, what's the difference between Mario Kart 7 and Mario Kart 8? It's still Mario Kart. I'm going to go get the next issue of Madden and resubscribe to Hustler.
But the difference is in Mario Kart 7 is pretty much exactly the same game as it was when it released, whereas Minecraft is not anything close to the same game as it was.
Okay, I disagree with that. And I think that from outward appearance, Minecraft is still that game that has blocks in it.
Yes, but it's changed so significantly that like you could point to any patch and call that a sequel.
All right, tell me what one patch that has vastly changed the landscape of the game from one to the next.
The introduction of biomes, which changed from just grass to ice, desert, jungles,
forests.
They put new
racetracks in it.
New racetracks?
So now you don't have just the jungle track, you have the penguin ice world, and you got the one that's in the clouds. It's not just streets you're driving on, now you're driving in the desert and in the snow.
I'm completely with you, Jeff. So I'm just letting you do the arguing.
That was so you're going from Mario Kart 7, where you were racing on tracks, to Mario Kart 8, where you're racing upside down. Yeah. So that's a sequel. So that's basically what Minecraft did in a patch.
Okay.
That's what I'm trying to say.
But Mario Kart 7 has the same levels where it's like, this is grass level, this is ice level. Like, if you're saying a biome, like, now it has ice world. Like, that's...
What I'm saying is, like...
That's a new landmass in WoW.
Yeah, but WoW is another game that's really hard to release a sequel to.
Okay.
It's like the same kind of, like, existential question that everyone asks when a new version of The Sims comes out. When you have a game where you update that game over and over and over and over again, unless you go in, like, a radically different direction, I don't understand what a sequel is. If it's a game that remains mostly stagnant, you can get away with, like, an iterative sequel, like Mario Kart, because the game never changes before the next one comes out. Mm.
But The Sims changes radically, and then by the time that you get around to a numbered sequel of The Sims, people ask the question, what is there to do in this game? There's so much content in 3 because there's been so many expansions. But then when I pop in 4, it's almost like I'm playing like a empty husk of a game that is basically a new canvas for the expansions that are yet to come out. I think that's the...
I mean, maybe that's what they're going to do, though. Maybe it's just going to be like, you know, with The Sims, where lots of expansions came out, it got a little long in the tooth, you know, maybe revenues start to taper, and then let's make the sequel where, you know, we modify some kind of nuts and bolts thing, and then we iterate with expansions or something.
I think that the way that I'm viewing Minecraft is different because you guys are saying you look at it like each patch vastly changes the game landscape, like the game design of Minecraft, and in an iterative setting, it would be valid if this was like Minecraft 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 with each patch, right?
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
More or less.
I mean, I think that's because you guys are aware of those patches, and you have your finger on the pulse of video games news and updates. But for the average Joe or the average kid who logs into Minecraft because they like, you know, stacking blocks and it's just super fun because they're under 10 or they're under 20 and they just like playing and chatting and doing with their doing stuff with their friends, they jump on and they're like, whoa, cool, Ice World. That's great. Like, it, to them, it's not like this massive overhauling of the infrastructure. It's just how games are these days. Like, Minecraft is revolutionary because they did that, and it's still the same game because you still are stacking boxes and you know, using pickaxes to mine diamonds. Like, that does not change. Yeah. It's just these things that, like, as a person who's in that world, to you it is a major overhaul, but to the person who does not have that kind of, like, awareness, it's not. It's the same thing of, like...
And to the console player who received the game after a lot of those significant world-changing patches happened.
Yeah, you know, it's where a lot like kind of Team Fortress. It's a lot like Team Fortress.
But even for that console gamer who isn't, who doesn't have his or her finger on the pulse of gaming news and whatever, I could see just the wider public of people playing this game thinking to themselves, the very core of Minecraft, which I already own, is that I can do whatever the hell I want. Yeah. I can, like, that's the whole point of the game. So why do I need to pay money for the second one? I'm just going to keep on with the one I have because...
Well,
because
in this one, you can do even more whatever the hell you
I
want.
I guess.
Yeah. Right. I mean, that's the question with every sequel, too. Is like, well, I like the first game. Why is the second game better?
The Sims have emotions now.
It's still Mario Kart. Like, now you go upside down. Like, there has to be something that... That makes it
but Mario Kart is not a game where the premise of the game is go ahead and do whatever the hell you're...
Well, let me say it as eloquently as I think I possibly can. It's like...
Fuck
it's
you!
It's going from...
Stop
a game
bringing Mario into this.
It's going from a game. It's going from a game that very clearly came from like a place of like PC style development with lots of changes and improvements, that, all within the same title, to kind of consoleified.
Yes.
And it's weird. It's weird watching a platform that started, that got its start, got its buzz, its positive word of mouth on PC. Mm-hmm. Kind of this feels like maybe it might be the point where the scales just tip entirely over to console land and they start pursuing a console like strategy where these kinds of patches are sequels, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And
that
I'm just
paid
I'm,
for.
Yeah, and I'm interested and curious to see what they do and how it affects the landscape. I also wonder, like, what are they going to use this company for anything other than Minecraft? Like, I don't know, it's just a strange thing.
Making skins. Check out your avatar's outfit.
This is generally like just really drives home the fact that I have no idea what's happening in gaming right now. I have no idea why 10 million PS4s sold. I have no idea like why there's a market for that when there's no big games out. Like, what is it that people want that they need to pay $400 for this thing? And there's like no big Gears of War selling point yet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just don't get it.
The 1 year mark is coming quickly, and
well, hey, Yoshida doesn't get it either.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so fascinating and interesting. I wonder, like, what's the driving force?
I don't know.
I think it's just people still like video games.
Yeah.
Regardless,
people just want new hardware, new stuff.
People are still hopeful,
but not the Wii U. God damn it.
Yeah. Yeah. Stop making those Musou games, freaking idiots.
Oh, Zelda.
Dragon Quest.
Heroes. You know what I want? I want an American Ninja Warrior CrossFit video game. That's what I want.
Here you go. That game exists. It's called Go the Fuck Outside.
I was gonna say that game would probably be the worst game of all time, but I'd play it with you.
It would be a Kinect exclusive.
Of course.
And you'd be like jumping over your couch like an ape.
Would it come with a couch peripheral in case I don't have a couch in my house already?
A giant plastic couch.
I think sadly the days of giant peripherals are behind us. It makes me feel bad because they were so dumb.
I secretly, and I know what I'm about to say is crazy, but I secretly completely disagree with you, and I look forward to the resurgence of Rock Band.
Me too.
I know that's like objectively insane, but I totally dream of like 2 or 3 years from now, we get like Rock Band 4, and it's somehow great.
The only insane thing about the Rock Band experience is it was, if you have to get new plastic instruments every game. That was the dumb. That is when you were doing it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Can I
or
tell you?
Or maybe you weren't.
Yeah.
I don't know anymore.
I was gonna say, can I tell you what's super crazy about me? Not only do I like music games, I kind of long for the days, or I miss the days when music games used to be like small curated collections of just a few songs.
No,
because
those
I'm
are
a
great.
Weirdo. Yeah. I don't know why. I really loved Oh and None and how it only had, or Elite Beat Agents had only had like 15 songs. Something about the limited nature of those playlists, for some reason appealed to me, even though it is just objectively worse.
You know what really made me sad is I downloaded the PlayStation All-Stars fighting game, whatever.
PBR.
Smash. Yeah, I downloaded that because it's free now. And
for the second time.
Yeah, for the second time. And
I didn't download it for the second time.
And when I downloaded it, I played the tutorial as Parappa the Rappa, and it made me really sad.
It's the best character.
That it made me sad that we're never going to get another one of those. But
apparently, that voice actor is kind of an asshole.
No.
Really?
Did you guys read that story?
I've heard the story, and it's hilarious.
Yeah. He sounds like a dick.
That's not a dick. That's freaking hysterical.
Explain it to me.
He basically agreed to do some voice work for someone and was like, yeah, I'm going to do it for you, but I need to charge the guild minimum of this amount. And they had just expected he would just do it for free because it was like a line or two. And they're like, okay, we'll pay you.
It was like $20.
It was like $100. And
okay,
they paid him
$100.
They paid him in advance and he never did the voice work. And then he refused to give them their money back.
That's amazing.
It is. It's so funny.
And then he started like sneering them and being like, "Yo, man, this guy's trying to bring me down. This guy's a total asshole.
He just needs to believe."
Oh, man.
And he told the guy to drop dead and all this stuff.
People are the best.
That was apparently. I don't know. I think that's hysterical. Don't pay for something before you get it.
Kind of. I mean, he's kind of an asshole, too.
Don't pre-order video games.
That was his message?
Yeah, that's the message. The more you know.
Okay.
Wow.
He was taking a stance. He was really trying to prove something there, you know.
Probably.
Yeah. Jeff, you got anything more on your document? I'm not looking at it because...
It was your document this time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you did this one. Oh. Apple gifts from the gods themselves.
What?
You put apple crap or something, and I replaced it with gifts from the gods themselves.
Okay.
There's some new iPhones. I think they look nice.
Did you hear that one? It was either EA or Activision. I think it was EA.
Yeah, yeah.
That said, they already have teams looking at how to make the watch games happen.
So dumb.
Sweet, bro. That's where your Mirror's Edge 2 is going.
Did I tell you guys there is a GoldenEye Moto 360 watch face?
Yeah, I've seen that article. Yeah.
But Steven still not Hacksaw's, the GoldenEye watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some watches. I don't think watches from either of those guys are going to sell that great, and that's a weird market.
Yep.
But
Everything that Apple does will sell great. Because
that's true. That's true.
They have Gwen Stefani wearing it. That's it.
I keep forgetting.
Remember the GameCube?
Something about them. The GameCube, yes.
Yeah, when you used to have celebrities, you know, carrying that lunch pail around. Those were the days.
I remember some commercials that somebody dreamed of for the GameCube and then talked about on a podcast.
I remember that. That was one of the best podcasts of all time.
Wait, was that me?
No,
it's a Destructoid podcast. I'll play it for you at some point, Griff. It's really funny.
Somebody dreamed about the GameCube?
You know of Jonathan Holmes, right, Griff?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Okay. He basically told a story about a dream he had about a GameCube commercial that he didn't want to have involving the third gender. And then somehow GameCube
Holy shit.
Came into play.
You could have not put more words. The only word that you could have put in that sentence to make that less interesting to me would have been something political. Wow.
Whoa. It's really funny, I promise.
Well.
It involves Snooki.
Oh, well, now we're going back somewhere. Yeah.
Involves spirit animals.
All right. Well, that's an internet funny thing, so no.
All right. Anyway, so you guys think the Apple Watch will sell pretty well?
Yeah.
I don't care.
Okay. I think it'll the reaction's been tepid, but that's kind of the cycle I feel like with Apple stuff. The blogosphere like froths at the mouth and then they're a little tepid on it and then they're like, "Oh yeah, actually it's amazing."
Yeah.
I kind of did the same thing. I'm like, "Hey, this looks kind of lame." And I was like, "Actually, that crown thing's kind of cool."
I mean, I think it's what they're presenting is interesting in a tech kind of way. It's just it doesn't appeal to me because I don't want to have a phone and a watch like that. I don't need like this weird mouthpiece for my phone that's on my wrist that can't function without my phone.
And also costs more than your contract phone.
It is a weird thing to have. I mean, I have a phone, so I don't have to have a watch.
Yeah. No. Well, I like watches, but I don't think that. I don't know. We'll see.
Did you guys hear that they quietly, on the day that they updated the store with the watch info and all that and the new phones, they quietly discontinued the iPod Classic?
I did. Jamie, you said that thing would never die.
You
were so wrong.
I'm so wrong.
I don't think it
had to die. I think they could have done interesting things with it, but I don't think they are focused on it obviously anymore.
No, I kind of when it died, I was like, I want to buy one used, and then I was like, I don't need one at all. But I had like a 5-second window where I was like, I should get one.
Did you see that hot limited edition Polywhirl iPod Classic?
What?
Excuse me?
No, I was just trying to bait you, Jeff. it's wheel is shaped like a whirl.
I did see that limited edition NES 3DS, which is way lamer than the Game Boy Advance SP NES.
I can't believe you didn't flip your shit the second I showed that to you.
No.
I cannot believe that. I think that you secretly did buy one.
Here are the problems. There are two problems. Number one, the new 3DS has already been announced and is cooler.
Yep.
That's problem number one. Problem number two, actually, there's three problems. Problem number two, having an NES controller on the outside of your system is dumb. It should be over the controls.
That's true.
It's the only acceptable place to put it. Problem number three, the Pikachu one's better.
I disagree with you there, but I hear you.
All right. I thought I would say I agree with you, Jeff, on all points. I would also say that NES was charming when it came, like, on. At that point in time on the SP, it seemed really cool. Now, at this point, it seems really charming that it's not on SP, where you're like, oh, this is a cool device, and this is a way better device for that little like bit of nostalgia to be on. Now, it's like, okay, we've done that. The NES's design really sucks, so we need to go beyond this.
It's just weird to put a picture of a controller on the back of your console.
Yeah.
Just a strange experience.
iPhone cases are in.
Go ahead, Jamie. Sorry.
I actually love the NES design.
I like it too. What? I like it too.
Yeah.
You're gross.
I like the NES design. I like the Mac computers of that era design. I like the Porsche the Porsche designs of that era, and they all kind of feed onto each other, because Steve Jobs would, before he designed the first Mac that we know, like, looks like how Macs used to look when we were kids, he would go outside into the parking lot of the Apple, whatever, HQ, and he would look at the Porsches of the era. So if you look at, like, 80s Porsches and then, like, early 90s Macs, they've got the same.
Are you saying Apple or the Apple II, or which computer?
One of those. I'm not sure which one.
Okay, there's a big difference between both of those.
I'm not sure which one, but I feel
probably the Apple II, because that's the big consumer one.
I feel like that kind of sensibility is mirrored in, like, the ridiculousness of the NES design that I just love. Just random ridges where there don't need to be them.
I think that Steve Jobs is rolling over in his grave when you're saying that design is ridiculous for the sake of ridiculousness.
What?
If you're saying that the NES is comparable to something that Steve Jobs looked at and said, wow, that's awesome, because it's ridiculous for the sake of ridiculous, that is not a mentality that he shared.
I just think that at the time, that was like what they were. There was a time where, like, that kind of off-gray weirdness was being paired with black for no reason, and that was like that was vogue, and it has a kind of charm to it. It wasn't for no reason, but I'm just saying that was like a kind of ubiquitous design thing that was happening at the time. And I love it in the Porsches, I love it in the Macs, and I love it on that stupid, ridiculous box with the ridges and the gray and the things.
Have you ever seen a Famicom?
I have.
It's so much better.
Yeah, it is better. I'll agree with you there.
Yeah, Famicom's sweet.
That's why I just want to know, like, why wouldn't you keep that?
I don't know why they do we know why they decided that they couldn't just bring it over?
Didn't they have a Famicom you mean when they brought it over to begin with?
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead. Sorry, go on, Griff.
Oh, I think, Jamie, you answered a question already. Like, people are enamored with some weird, dumb design philosophy that I don't understand at the time.
Well, one thing I think that was better about the NES is that there was Famicom, and then there was the Famicom disk drive, right?
Much later, which was just a big old-ass block that sat under your Famicom.
Couldn't the NES play both types of games?
No.
No.
Wait, you're saying which one, the NES?
Yeah.
NES could not play a disc game.
But, I mean, games that were released for the Famicom disc drive, could they be ported to NES?
No, they could not.
Okay. So that's right. The Famicom... Okay, I understand. You understand what I'm trying to say, though?
No.
What I'm trying to say is, could the NES... So games that were designed for the Famicom disc drive...
Mm-hmm.
Could those games be turned into NES carts during the localization and played on an NES, or did the NES not have the hardware to
they required a disk games? Drive, so we just didn't get them.
Okay, never mind.
Like,
I get it. I'm saying, could they be put on NES media, on NES cartridges?
But a Famicom and an NES were the same thing, dude. Like, the NES did not have enhanced hardware that you could put some magical chips into on the cart, and then you could play a disc-based game.
No, but the okay, no, I hear what you're saying. Okay, never mind.
The Famicom and the NES were the same thing.
No, but they weren't exactly the same thing. They were slightly different.
Well, maybe one had a different audio channel.
Okay, all right, that's fair. Anyway, moving on.
Moving on!
What were we talking about? Famicoms. They didn't bring over the Super Famicom either. I don't know why.
Yeah. I like that design quite a bit, but... I don't know. The Super Nintendo was ugly as hell. Uglier than the NES for sure, I think. But
I like the Super Nintendo. Thought it was cool.
Yeah. Again, the Super Famicom, way, way prettier.
Yeah, way better.
Especially way better. In its box and its marketing and all the design that went along with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quick, what's the best looking console of all time?
I don't have a good answer to that question.
I would choose Super Famicom. Maybe Dreamcast. Maybe Dreamcast.
I'd probably go with some kind of portable.
That's not a console.
That's not a console.
I don't really rank consoles on their beauty.
It's because I like weird things where they have no reason to be there. I actually am going to say something that I'm looking at right now. My slim white PS3.
I quite like my PS3 as well.
It's really nice looking. It's got all sorts of stupid ridges where there don't need to be ridges. There's like weird bubble things coming out of it and plates that don't need to be there. And it's got a light for no reason in the front. And it's all asymmetric.
Yeah, I like how dumb and lo-fi it is, actually. I like how actually opening the thing, like you have to slide it open and you can do it when it's turned off. And it's stupid and dumb. I don't know if it's my absolute favorite console, but I do really like it. Of the ones I have out right now, it's probably my favorite. But I don't know for all time.
The Dreamcast is a pretty good looking system.
Yeah, the Dreamcast is a fantastic looking machine. I loved how it like kind of bulbous it was. It was tall.
The Dreamcast looks like something that would be in like an Aliens movie set, where you're like, it's like 1980s future technology, where you're like, oh man, like this, a spaceman, as somebody envisioned in 2020, would have touched this to turn on their communicator device.
I don't think I'm as wild about the Dreamcast as you guys are. I kind of like the GameCube though, and it's all of its stupidity.
I like the GameCube.
I like the GameCube too. Yeah, I mean, that's a cool device.
Yeah.
The handle is probably just somebody unloading candies into a dish?
That's me, sorry.
Guess that noise.
It's cat food.
Oh, that's just
candies
too funny.
Into a dish. It's surprisingly accurate.
I'm surprised the mic picked it up. I tried to stay away from the dish.
I do like the GameCube, yeah. The handle is probably the thing that's just like, dumb enough.
Yeah, so yeah, I like the GameCube. I'm not super crazy about the Dreamcast, but I see where you guys are coming from in a big way.
The best handheld is obviously the SP.
The SP is pretty awesome.
Yeah. I might need to think about that a little bit longer. I probably the SP.
Don't say. I hope nobody says the freaking Game Boy Micro. That thing is dumb.
No.
It's the iPad.
I think the Game Boy Micro was cool, but I don't know how anyone could actually play a game on that thing and not hate themselves.
Yeah, way too small.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's close for me between the Game Boy SP, because I think that's just wonderful, but the DSi in white is, like, super hot, too.
Yeah.
That was really good. That was probably the best.
Yeah, the DSi is pretty great. I like the DSi a lot.
The DSi, yeah, the SP to me is like it's cute. Like it's like the baby face, like best. It's like, you know, the like 2010 Justin Bieber of video game consoles, where you're like, wow, that, you know, that's that thing can do everything and it looks good. And then like, you know, the DSi is like mature ass, like you know, like Michael Phelps. Like that shit is ready to go.
I love games that make you hold the DSi sideways. I love when hardware can. I love how that system encouraged you to interact with it in weird ways. Way more so than the 3DS, I think. Sorry, go ahead.
Why you have to finish Device 6?
Yes, Device 6 definitely takes that and runs with it. That's what I loved about it immediately. But I loved playing. Did you ever play Hotel Desk, either of you guys?
Nah.
I watched you play it.
Okay, this is a great game. And you hold your DS like a book. And it's really, really
There was a Ninja Gaiden you did that in, too.
There was a Ninja Gaiden that you did
that
in.
Oh, yeah. Remember that.
Also Brain Training.
Yeah.
Never owned one of those.
Glasses.
Brain Training was fun. Brain Training is the reason why Lumosity exists right now.
Yeah.
Lumosity is apparently extremely successful.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
Is it successful? Yeah. How so? Like,
I think they have 100 million active subscribers.
Okay.
Oh, I thought you meant like actually scientifically.
No. Because scientifically, that stuff has been debunked to hell.
Oh yeah.
I was going to laugh at you. In my professional setting, one of my supervisors recommended Lumosity, and I laughed
and
my
you
ass
laughed.
Off.
Yeah. Yeah. Good.
It's the worst.
Doesn't work. But no. Monetarily, it is it's doing good, which is crazy.
It's probably good for combating Alzheimer's, much in the way that doing a crossword puzzle is.
Just doing anything.
Yeah, right, exactly. Thinking.
Yeah.
Shannon, tonight is parent-teacher night, so Shannon brings in some things, and she puts them in the classroom that she suggests, like, the kids do in their free time for fun, but that's also, like, good for, you know, not just watching TV. So she brings in, like, board games like Pandemic that are, like, fun but also make you think about science a little bit. And she brought in her DSi, and I think she's got, like, some, like, Leighton and stuff on it so that parents can see. And I don't know. Hopefully she'll meet David Duchovny tonight. That's my hope. Wow.
and then show it to him?
And show it to him.
Also, can I just tell you guys that many of the Famicom disc games appeared on NES cartridges, according to the internet.
Okay.
So fuck everyone.
All right. Do you want to cite some?
I know nothing.
It's on nindb.net. It's talking about Famicom and NES hardware.
Okay, so what games came out on Nintendo Disk Drive and then were ported to NES?
I will find out. Give me a moment. Some of them lost audio channels in the process.
All right. Yeah, see?
Games that came to NES. You guys keep talking.
This is all just arcane to me. Like, it's amazing to me, Griffin, that you made that offhand comment about the audio things and that it is in some way accurate, and also that Jeff was postulating that, you know, these systems are not as distinct as...
I'm assuming, Jeff, there is a handful of titles that were released on the Nintendo Disk System that were then ported to an NES device that were, like, lo-fied to shit, in the same way that you have arcade ports that, you know, are coming from an arcade machine that is going to do something vastly different to then it going on to a home console that becomes essentially hot trash. So I'm sure that there has been some of those situations, but I don't think it's going to be nearly prevalent to, like, make it anything worthwhile. Like, it's not, we got that hidden gem. If it wasn't, you know, the original release for the Turtles game was on the Nintendo Disk System, and, you know, it was too hot, so it made right and brought over in America. All they lost was the audio track that said Turtles.
I'm still working on finding
Jeff,
my answers.
So Jeff, you're basically postulating that it was, in certain ways, it was kind of like a master system.
I don't think it was, but I'm not sure.
What was the Game Gear? A Master System Game Gear situation where the Master System Sonic is essentially, but not entirely, the Sonic that you get on your Game Gear.
I don't really understand.
Kind of backwards.
I still to this day don't really understand the Master System thing, except that we got Genesis.
Yeah, we did. Well, Master System was their 8-bit console.
Yeah,
and Game Gear is obviously a portable that took a lot of the games that were on the Master System, and like 95% just ported them, but changed them like ever so slightly. So if you play Sonic 1 on the Master System, it is eerily similar to what Sonic on the Game Gear is, but it's not entirely similar.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Nailed it. Yeah, it's Nomad. It's not a Nomad.
Yeah.
So the NES system had a different pin interface for their cartridges. They had 72 pins, so theoretically they had a slightly higher bandwidth for sending data to the system.
Okay.
Huh.
Just so you guys know.
Find any other games that came from this system to NES?
It's hard on the iPad browser because there's no Control F.
Really?
As far as I can tell.
Apple is so weird.
I mean, unless I can't find one somewhere.
I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Maybe you should press Apple F.
I was baffled when I bought my first iPad, and I tried to download a file from the internet.
And there was only one button, so you couldn't right-click.
No, I just literally couldn't download a file from the internet, and at the time, like, I googled, like, using my this generation iPad, can I download a file from the internet with Safari? And the answer was no.
Jamie, I got a dumb thing for you that you probably both already know and are just going to laugh at me. So you've talked about Orange is the New Black, right?
Mm-hmm.
This only prompts me because you were talking about downloading files off the internet. You know the character Red?
Uh-huh.
She's Captain Janeway from Star Trek
Voyager. Of course.
I did not know that until just the other day. I was like, oh my God.
Were you a Voyager fan?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Okay. Oh, good. I'm glad.
Fucking moron.
Because Shannon is a huge TNG fan, and
yeah,
she just never got around to watching Voyager.
She's better off for it.
And she loves Orange is the New Black.
Yeah.
So when I inform...
Uh-oh. She immediately disconnected and was like...
She heard this conversation.
She beamed me up. Captain Janeway? I don't know the actress's name.
I'm still looking into Famicom's system.
Jeff, you're going to prove yourself right. Guarantee it. It's totally different.
And it will be so hollow inside when I do.
Maybe. Now, there might be something in there with, like, Satellaview, if you want to dig into that stuff.
I played it in television, sorry.
Yeah, that's different.
That's very different.
No.
I died.
He's back. Did you have to go download your Captain Janeway pictures?
Yeah. The only thing that lets me finish. That Hillary Clinton hair always does the trick.
There was a pretty lady on that show, right? She was a robot?
7 of 9.
Yeah.
She would later star in that show that took place in Boston about being a teacher. With
Ally McBeal.
I don't know, but she's a good actress. She's quite attractive.
Anybody else go on to do anything? There was that Dr. Robot hologram guy, and
he was great.
I think I've seen him in an episode of Law and Order around the same time, which makes sense.
He's an actual surgeon now.
He played enough
Works
simulator.
In my hospital.
He got it.
Yeah, he did the full course, the surgeon simulator course.
He got all the achievements.
Uh-huh. So he's a fully accredited surgeon.
Accredited bonded surgeon. Mm-hmm.
I was misrepresenting surgeons before, because with any surgery, but especially with C-sections, you just want to minimize the surgical time. Like, you want to, if you can, you want to get it down to a couple minutes.
Sure.
In other surgeries where it's not that way, you can take your time and use cauterized knives and be all fancy. But in this, it's kind of like, get that fucking baby out now.
Yeah. You're not doing a surgery because you have all the time in the world.
Yeah.
Or a C-section, excuse me.
Is Jeff still looking up arcane facts?
Yes. He's vehemently trying to prove that the disk system did have different ports to the NES.
I am fascinated by this disk system. I don't even think I've seen a picture of it.
It didn't do well. It failed because the games had a lot of reliability issues.
Yeah, it was powered by a rubber band, which if you're playing a disk drive, that's, you know, going to be spooling quite a bit. Having a rubber band in there is not going to work very well.
Oh, God, you're not joking.
No.
My God, that's crazy.
So you find a lot of rubber band replacement for disk systems in Japan. I think there was a Mario that maybe had come out for it. Maybe
games such as The Legend of Zelda, Metroid, and Kid Icarus were released to the Famicom disk system with a save feature. Many of these titles were subsequently ported to cartridge format and released for the NES a year or two later, with saving implemented via password resume or battery-backed memory.
Now, were those games already out for the NES or for the Famicom?
Not clear yet.
So the only thing they implemented was a save feature? Because then you're telling me that the Metroid game came out not on the Famicom, but on
Nintendo Disk System. Legend of Zelda came first to the disk system. It was a launch title for the Family Computer Disk System peripheral. Boom.
That's fascinating.
All right.
Boom goes the dynamite.
Wow.
that is fascinating, but it's not as fascinating as a disk system running on a rubber band. What? My record player runs on a rubber band, but it's giant, and it's also a record player.
You should get a new record player.
No, all the best record players still run using, like, essentially a belt. The belt is what connects the actual turntable with the quartz clock.
What's a quartz clock?
It's the thing that makes sure your record is spinning at 33 and a third revolutions per minute exactly.
Huh.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Guys, fuck my iPad.
It's like a watch.
Like when I bought my new fancy record player, I actually had to like assemble it, and you actually have to like put the belt on, and like make sure everything's all secured and everything, and you have to add the exact amount of counterweight to make sure that the action of the needle on the record is not forcing the record to spin any faster or slower than it should be. It's crazy.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Crazy. So, Jeff, you're telling me that Zelda was never available for the Famicom. It was only on the disk system.
I might not be telling you that part.
Okay.
It may have been also ported to Famicom. Which kind of defeats my original argument.
Yeah.
I think you both win.
Jeff and I both know just a little about the Famicom and Famicom disk system to be annoying to each other about it.
Griffin's got it.
Was there a disk system with the Genesis or with the SNES?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
There was Sega CD.
There was the Sega CD.
Okay. That did come here, right?
Fuck yeah.
Yep. Okay. Sonic CD, man.
Came here in three beautiful forms.
Okay.
Sonic motherfucking CD.
It came in the form of one was a device that sat underneath the Genesis that was very prone to catch on fire. There was another version that strapped onto the side of the Genesis, and that was the kind that was featured in Snatcher, which is really rad. But it essentially is just like a Walkman that had a big fat bass on that you would set your Genesis. I think Genesis 3 would fit in there in the cradle. And then finally, my favorite is the Sega CDX, which I own, and that is it looks like a Walkman that's like double the size of a Walkman, and it is first and foremost the disk drive, and then the back has this big fat slab on it where you can put in Genesis carts. It also has room for 9 AAA or AA batteries, which you can put in so you can listen to CDs on the go.
To make as much battery acid as possible, quickly as possible.
When I got it, I opened it up, all the batteries are still in there and corroded as fuck.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
It is
a beautiful system. And there's also like a bunch of controversy about whether or not you can put a 32X onto it. Like, that was one of the things. You heard of the Tower of Power, right? Where it's like you put all three Genesis devices together into one ungodly shrine.
You stack like three game genies and then put Sonic and Knuckles on there with Sonic 3 on top.
Yeah, part of the problem is those would catch on fire because there would be weird pin connections that would happen and it would cause a spark and the system would melt down. That's why, like, Sega has never come out and said, like, you can put a 32X in a Sega CD, because it's not... They've already ran into an issue where their consoles were catching on fire, so they can't make any comments as to, like, maybe it won't happen this time.
Well, if I've learned anything from building PCs, it's that if there's no risk of it melting, then it's no good. Not elite enough.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Go big or go home.
Exactly.
That was the Sega model. I do. Jamie, as you're saying, like, as you pine for the days of yore where it was plastic instrument peripherals, I miss the days of weird shit like the disc system or, like, you know, most notably like the 32X and the Sega CD, like weird shit that you strap on, or even like a more
the Circle
more
Pad Pro.
Yeah, I love the Circle Pad Pro, or like the GameCube, where it's, you know, you plug on into that thing like your wireless internet adapter, or
that was all Nintendo though. That's like Nintendo's bread and butter, man.
Yeah, Dreamcast has it too. You look at that thing. That thing's got more holes VMBs. In it than the VMUs are. They're
or
awesome.
VMU, sorry, VMUs.
Just look at that system, and there's like 15 different holes in there that you don't know what anything goes into.
Well, the newest craze is taking your PS4 hard disk cover off and replacing it with some new angled designed hard drive case cover.
That sounds awesome.
I've heard about that too. I don't know.
They made an official FF14 one, and that like started it, and they sold a shit ton. And they're like, oh, okay, I guess people really are dumb. And yeah. then other companies are like, we're going to make one too.
Well, there was that Metal Slime announced in that quote-unquote
oh, the PS4, yeah,
TGS
yeah.
Sony event, where they showed off the Dragon Quest Heroes thing, and then it's the metal liquid slime that attaches to the front, or that is on the console. So
yeah, that was awesome.
Yay. Faceplates, baby.
I get that kind of feeling that I think that you get when you connect your 30 different Sega systems together. Like I get that kind of, I would get that kind of feeling if I were to like take my PS4's hard drive out and replace it with like a giant solid state hard drive, mm-hmm. and then spray paint the cover and put it back.
Well, I mean, I think you already did demonstrate your delight in the ridiculous, where you're like your PlayStation 3 Slim, like you're like it, you know, you slide the cover back, like it has that like weird kind of old tech simplicity where it's like the top loader and it's like bubbly mm-hmm. and weird and doesn't make sense.
Love it. Yeah. So
it's dumb and small and the best of all.
Yes.
is that the cheer of your little league team?
Yes. I mean, I love the PS4 as well, but PS3 is so stupid.
I've been kind of thinking too, and it was actually kind of this Apple press conference that made me realize it. And that's when the new 3DS comes to America, I think I am going to be getting the small version, not the XL.
Yes. Faceplates.
Not so much the faceplates. No. I mean, I hope that they have the Famicom buttons. I don't think they will, but it's more of just like it's a pocket system. It's a portable system. Like portable devices are becoming so large and so stupid and so ridiculous that it's like I kind of enjoy just something I can actually keep in my pocket and play. And there is something like nice and delightful about a small screen that I can just look at and it not it be this humongous, like, okay, this is essentially I'm playing on it on a very small TV. Like I was just thinking, like, you know, electronics are moving from this, like, they used to be huge, then they got really tiny, and now they're getting huge again. I kind of just kind of miss like things that were small because they're supposed to be portable.
Yeah, so, I'm with you. And also, like, when I play a game like Mario Golf on the 3DS, mm-hmm. there are certain times when I'm looking at the screen and it's just very clear that it's not meant to be that big. Like, it's distorted in certain ways that makes me actually want a smaller screen that might mask some of this weird aliasing that's happening.
Yeah.
See, I've never been bothered by that. And I really like the DSi XL and the 3DS XL, but I was going to say, I combat some of the kind of weariness about like electronics getting big and all grown up and whatever by just having really dumb things on them, like my Pikachu.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's how I felt about the XL for the DSi, where I was like, well, this is burgundy and rough texture and like meant for old people in Japan who can't actually see brain training because it's too small of text. This is hysterical. I want one.
Exactly. But I just want those faceplates, man. I go nuts for that crap.
Yeah. I like them. I've been enjoying the mishmashes that have been cropping up online where it's like half Peach, half Mario, and 110% terrifying.
I really want to do that. Yeah. I want to have a whole bunch of them.
There's some good ones. I don't know. I again, like, It all depends on how the feel is, but
yeah, that's the big thing.
I miss the days of the DS, the DS Lite. Rather.
I saw a picture today where it was comparing the size of the new iPhone 6 Plus, and it is equivalent to the size of the Vita.
Holy crap!
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
Well, I had heard that the 6 Plus wasn't going to be like a big phone, like for the screen size. I was heard it was going to be really, really big.
Yeah.
Compared to other phones on the market, mostly because of the giant home button.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big phone.
Yeah.
It's an ugly phone.
Yeah, it is ugly. I don't like it.
Nope.
You don't like the 6?
Nope.
No.
I do not.
I like the 6.
I like the 5S better than the 6.
I got really sick of the pointy corners. I like rounded better.
I like the new
rounded is
Moto
on
X.
Everything, isn't it? What's been pointy?
The Nokia Lumia.
Bastards.
I don't know. I just felt that that particular design, it was getting a little tired for me. I don't know exactly why, but I was sick of it.
I just want a new Moto X with a leather back.
That's yes.
What I want.
Yes, that's awesome. I want that orange leather.
Nobody should ever want orange leather.
Orange leather is awesome.
That's You're good. Dumb. You've been in Iowa for too long.
That sounds like the most fucking yuppie thing I've ever heard. I wanted to go with my land. I got to find it in my Lands End catalog. This delightful orange leather piece.
But the screen is too big, Jamie. I don't want 5.2 inches. That's just too
it
much.
It matches my yacht, the trim on my yacht.
I feel like the screen size and hand feel on the Moto X are so great that even though it is feeling a little bit long in the tooth, I actually for once don't want to like upgrade out of phase like a lunatic.
Has great mouth feel too.
Has some pretty good butt feel.
Good ear. Who describes it as like you said hand feel? What about ear feel?
Ear feel? Because
it's a phone.
They all just kind of go straight up against your face because they're straight slabs.
Mm.
Guys, if the iPhone's as thin as an iPod Touch, I'm going to think that's pretty cool.
I think it is.
It probably is. Yeah, it's supposed to be pretty thin. That's cool, though. I mean, I don't really need my phone to be thinner, I guess. Everybody left. I think it's just me here. If that's the case, I think I'm going to shut this down since we're going for 2.5 hours. So I think it's only going to be it's just me signing off, Griff. So thanks for listening this far to Boss Barrel Radio. I hope you enjoyed our incessant talking and not proving anything to each other. And maybe you'll take away something and go and play Danganronpa 2 or educate yourself about a disk system or something. All right. Thank you, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks. Happy birthday, Jen and Hunter. Bye.